Welcome everybody. Call the meeting to order. First order is to approve the minutes from last month's meeting.
I'm sorry, I had a problem with the minutes and I couldn't fix it.
Well, I was gonna say, I didn't read them because I didn't.
Well, I apologize, we'll have to do them.
So you wanna wait till next month? Because I didn't read them. I got the email. I can't read it on my smartphone, I need a computer for that. Okay, so we're gonna hold off on the approval, no big deal. Okay, we'll start off with resolution. Actually, why don't we do, yeah, we'll just go. Resolution 453, establishing a policy for the attendance of conferences and educational training by officers and employees of Ulster County.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, open for discussion. Any discussions? Let's later on.
I thought for quite a while, and I've been stewing over this, that it should apply to all departments, not just the sheriff and the DA and the comptroller. The only department that it specifically lists in the administrative code that approves their own, is ours. The legislature's travel is approved by the legislature for the administrative code. So, I mean, personally, I'd like to see, you know, the executive's office and the executive branch added to it, personally. Something I've been stewing on for a while, and I think some other people have talked about it.
Okay, Legislator Johnson?
My problem with this resolution is that, I mean, these people are appointed as department heads and, or they are elected officials. They're either answerable to the executive or they're answerable to the people. And, I mean, this policy, I mean, we can control that by numbers, by the amount of money we allow them to spend. But I think if you're going to give them money to spend on conferences, you have to let them make those decisions where they're spending that money. I see this as micromanaging, and I don't think we should be doing it.
Okay, is that okay?
I think it's okay to state as a policy that, you know, we would like them to be cognizant of this. I mean, you think it's already assumed, but okay, let's say it's not. So let's ensure the policy, but the follow-up and all the other elements of it, I think just establishing a policy that this is important with potential review on the back end to ensure the policy was adhered to, and there was, you know, so the only thing that maybe gets kicked out is, you know, things that exceed the policy set in place. Maybe that's another way of doing it without making it so onerous.
Okay, yeah. The only thing I noticed with it was, I think I know the legislature because we're in the administrative code, our policy is our policy. We can't change that. The rest of the county should just have one policy. You know, the county clerk, the county sheriff, the county controller, county executive, there shouldn't be two policies. You know, there shouldn't be separate policies for them. No matter what the policy is, it should be, we have our policy because that was already set. Everybody else in the county, there should just be one policy. That's my goal.
So, in other words, to be inclusive of...
To me, when I read it, and I know I'm saying this late, so I'm open to anything. I mean, I'm not that, it is what it is, kind of, but to me, it seems weird that one department can veto another department going on a conference for under $1,000. But yet, they could send a staff member, that department could send a staff member to the same conference that a staff member in another department does similar duties, and they could deny that person from going. That's my issue. Not to say it would ever happen, because it probably wouldn't, but to me, if we set a policy, it should just be uniform amongst everybody. It should just be uniform. It shouldn't be different for one brand, you know. So, with that said, I know a lot of people put a lot of time into this, so I'm not looking at it. Let's sit around.
Well, do you want to pass this tonight, or do you want to postpone it for a month and then have some serious discussion about how we want it to look? I mean, there's been behind the scenes discussion, but I don't think this has been discussed in depth on any other committees. I think it came here and it's going to Ways and Means.
No, Ways and Means already did it.
Ways and Means already did it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I wasn't there last night. or last week.
Legislator Donaldson.
Well, I mean, you can pass that. You just throw out that the highlighted resolve, the one that's deeper, because I do agree that the quarterly report should be thoroughly filed so we know what's happening, so then, you know, somebody can say something or, hey, you're spending a lot. But the idea that, you know, as you pointed out, that we have the right to veto comptroller's, conference attendance after we gave them the money to do the conference attendance, we put it in the budget. That's where we control it. We have veto power over a lot of things that they do just by taking it out of the budget.
But under 1,000, we don't have that.
Right. So, I just think that this should be, I mean, that to me is not needed. I mean, I agree that we should have some type of a policy that, you know, as you were pointing out, making people, you know, cognizant of, you know, what they should be looking at. But it's still, you're talking about people that are leaders in their own right and, you know, and were elected either by the people themselves or they were appointed by the county executive after an approval by the legislature and that conference is okayed through them. I don't see where we should be getting into that. Where we can do it is basically with the power of the purse. And it comes up, and they're abusing that. The following year, hey, they're abusing it. As far as I'm concerned, we'll cut the conference money in half.
But at that point, it may be too late.
How much are they going to spend, though? I mean, it's not like they're spending millions. It's, it's a few thousand dollars, and, you know, We all have like a different idea what a good conference is, and I mean this does say you should take preference by doing online. It does say it takes preference by going trying to keep your conferences within state. So it does say that, and what we're trying to do is, as Lynn pointed out, make them cognizant of looking at these things. This is the policy we set. So therefore, if they do go around these other things, we question it. Why did you go to Texas for a conference?
I'm not disputing that. The issue I have is, if something is denied under $1,000, there's no appeals process in this. So let's put an appeals process where if a department is denied to under $1,000, right now, they can't go. So if they're denied, maybe let's put a process in, they can come back to the legislature.
By the time the conference be over.
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, because you're going to those conferences 6 months ahead of time.
Yeah, but it's the same thing that could happen here. You got a conference, you got a notice of a conference, and you got to get the resolution in on time, and then you have to get the resolution there, and then somebody, we don't know, and, you know. I'm willing to hear you doing that when we have the ability to do it by controlling the budget. So, I mean, that's where it should be gone.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with the highlighted resolve. I don't know if I'm ready to throw it out either. So, you know, I kind of agree with Legislator Roth. Maybe we should put it off another month.
So I'm okay with that too. I mean, it's not.
Well, I don't, you know. I mean, we could just be later.
I mean, over the holidays now, there's probably not a lot of conferences are traveling right now, anyway.
All right. Well, maybe you could be labored, but any more, $1,000 is not a lot of money.
Well, I just would like to see an appeals process in place. If somebody's denied, then how can they come and make a case to the legislature?
I was just going to go back to, I guess, what Legislator Runt originally brought up, which was why is the focus only the three? If not, if we're going to have a policy, it should be a policy across the board or not across the board.
Well, there is a policy. This policy is my understanding over $1,000 comes to the legislature. Anything under $1,000 goes to the Commissioner of Finance. So if the Commissioner of Finance says no, then who gets the...
Yeah, no, but the focus is the only people that have to, that this policy applies to is my understanding. I guess there was some discussion with counsel from all sides, is what I heard at Ways and Means, is the sheriff, the comptroller, and the DA's office.
The legislature is in the charter.
Okay, so is the executive in the...
Right.
So is the executive in the charter as well?
In the charter.
No.
No.
The legislature.
It became a I mean, Erica could probably speak to it more definitively, but my understanding is that there was a difference of opinion as to whether or not, and I wasn't involved in any of the discussions, but my understanding is there was a difference of opinion as to whether or not the legislature, whether this is a policy or this is under the purview of a standard operating procedure dictated by the executive branch. So the
it's a policy.
But between the two attorneys, there was a difference of opinion, and this is legislator Geraghty's initiative. I mean, I didn't even know my name was on it until last week.
And I just did. I made me with Mr. Ragucci. I really didn't give an opinion, so there really couldn't have been much of a difference.
Okay.
I just said that the legislator is exempt by
by charter.
Erica, really, you're going to have to clarify. Yeah.
It was at the request of legislator Geraghty. I worked on this with the clerk, and this is what we came up with. And there was discussions with County Attorney Havrenik and the clerk, and this is what he had come up with, a compromise. The addition, the highlighted addition to the resolution is from legislator Geraghty himself.
Okay. But the compromise was to keep the executive's office out of it.
Yes,
correct.
And I don't have a problem. I mean, my issue with that is, if we're going to set a policy, the policy is for everybody, except for us, because we're exempt. Our policy is defined in the administrative code. Make their policy the same as our policy. I don't care. But to me, then we have three different travel policies in the county, the way this resolution is written, which makes no sense. Mm-hmm. So let me ask Legislator Van Barker, or Sheriff Van Barker, to put his hand up.
I spoke about it at the Ways and Means, and I'm against the resolution. When we do our budget, I invite legislators to sit in our budget process. We talk about our budget, and we put in for that, for going to conferences. There's some conferences that we pay for, and we take people from IS with us because we budget for it, and it helps them out. So to if you would pay attention and ask us questions, hey, so, you know, it's in a line item for travel for conferences, ask us what it's for. I'm at every meeting, or somebody from our office comes to every meeting, and we're upfront about it. And if this is, the catalyst was this because somebody did something wrong, nobody else will be penalized. And if you penalize everybody, penalize everybody, including the executive's office. Right. So I agree with that. But I think this is the last thing I would say is it never made it to the Public Safety Law Enforcement Committee. You know, maybe they want to weigh in on it. Maybe it gives me a little bit of time to come up with better arguments than what I'm giving here other day. We meet every Monday, and I've said it time and time again. Any legislator is welcome to sit inside our Monday morning meetings where we talk about travel occasionally, if that's, you know, conferences coming up. Mm-hmm. So we're so far out in front and being honest and open about it, it feels like we're being penalized a little bit. Not that there's a lot of conferences that cost us over $1,000. The New World Conference, where we take IS with us, and the American Jail Association Conference, which then it's a revenue. You know, there's no cost to taxpayers. That's a revenue that we get from the telephone money that we then spend on that one conference. So there's a couple other things involved.
The way this resolution is written, if it's over 1,000, the legislature would have to approve it. If it's under 1,000, the Commissioner of Finance has to approve it.
Right. And I understand that. I don't think the legislature should have to approve something when it's in our budget. And you can ask me at budget time, geez, where are you guys going? And I'll tell you, we're not going anywhere. But for over $1,000, the AJA conference, and every year it's in a different part of the United States, and the same with the New World Conference. New World, a lot of agencies within, or a lot of departments within Ulster County use New World. So we take IS when we go there, and it's not out of their budget, it's out of our budget.
Well, and the way this resolution is written, the Commissioner of Finance could approve the IS people to go and deny your office from going. So it really, to me, doesn't make I understand it's a lot of work went into it, but I just think it needs to be changed a little bit.
But doesn't the Commissioner of Finance currently approve, like, any requests? I mean, isn't everything going through the Commissioner?
Yeah, basically.
But I don't think he can deny people from going.
No, but he's currently signing.
On our end, we put in for it in the budget.
Yeah.
Then we apply for the travel. It comes to me, and then I either say yay or nay.
But does he say
and then
no?
Then it goes to them, and eventually Bob Sublo signs off on ours.
But the point is that.
But what if he ever told you no?
No, but he has made suggestions about maybe doing a little bit cheaper, not sending as many people. So, and that's good, and we have done that. We used to send, like, the patrol supervisors conference is a week long. We used to send all the supervisors. Well, you know what? That really didn't make any sense, and somebody from behind that door there made that suggestion. So we don't do that anymore. You know, we send maybe two this year, two next year,
right,
and we, you know, stagger it. So, yes, they look over it, and then we talk about it.
Yeah, well, that's part of the process.
Wait, wait, I think that the point that's been brought up in the past about this is that the Commissioner of Finance is approving it. Basically, he's going in and saying, is there money in the budget for this? If yes, then he signs off on it. He's just signing off that there's money in the budget. He's not making a policy decision about whether or not it's a necessary conference, whether or not it's a conference that is in the same subject area, whether or not they could do this online, whether or not they could teleconference into the meeting, or do they have to fly to Boca Raton? I mean, it's you know, that's where the discussion is being, that's where this policy came from. And due respect to the sheriff, I mean, I appreciate how open you are with us. You come to every meeting. You guys are here, and that's why I think that if you had a conference over $1,000, that kind of due diligence that you guys do and bring to the legislature would be, I don't want to say rewarded because that's not the right word, but that's the word I'll use, not having a better one right now, by having your conference approved without you know, getting the third degree. But the people who are not doing things correctly would be the ones getting the third degree.
And we do look to see whether you can do it online. We always look for the closest school. We look for the cheapest hotels. We do it all, but I don't think you need a policy to do that. Somewhere along the line in the budget process or when somebody gets elected, they're expected to do that. So, you know, I would hope that everybody else does, but we do that. We look for the cheapest way possible, always.
Yeah,
I don't think we need a policy.
Okay, that's fair. So what's everybody's flavor? We have a motion and a second.
Can we amend it in committee, or are we going to have to amend it on the floor?
Because
not here.
Not without Rich Sherrington.
So I'm going to make a motion we don't take action or we keep it in committee another month. And we can talk to Rich Sherrington.
We can amend it in committee.
Not without those.
You
have to have Rich sign off on it.
Well, we can amend it and he can sign off on it. Right?
Well, I may. You know, why don't we just... I'm willing to wait a month. Yeah, I'm not going to support it tonight.
I'll second.
I'm going to make a motion that we...
Move to postpone it for a month.
One last thing?
Sure.
For the next meeting.
Can it be also sent back to the committees that represent, like for me and Holly, it's only one committee.
Sure.
I don't know what committee looks at the comptroller's office, but for me and Holly.
We could talk about it in the law enforcement committee, but we'd have to send it to every single committee. Because
there should only be two.
No, because TSS goes on them, and then you got to send it to that committee. The Department of Environment goes on them.
This has been a space reality. It was pushed because of the controllers.
Right.
So. Attendance.
All right. But I would not mind having a discussion about it.
Okay, we're going to take a vote on a motion to postpone for a month. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm opposed. I'm ready to vote no for it.
Okay. Okay, so Legislator Archer, are you?
I'll postpone.
Okay, so it's carried 4-1. Okay, what I'd like to do is we have some guests here, and I'd like to take their resolution first today and get home. It's the holiday time. They don't have to hang out and listen to the other ones. So I'd like to go to Resolution 4-11, approving the execution of the contract amendment by NICAPCOM.
Yeah.
Capcom.
We have Doreen.
And CAC. Oh, we have Doreen here, yes. Is that okay? Unless you want to hang out with us late.
Thank you.
Okay. So can we have a motion on?
I'll make the motion.
I'll move it. I'll second it.
Okay. Okay. For sure. Do you want to discuss it with us? Or?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, if there's any questions, okay. I know.
Yeah. Fill me in.
Fill you in?
Well, this will be postponed last month.
This is the PPA for workman's comp, right?
Yes. We went with them under the first of this year as a third-party administrator. And it's been going pretty well. I mean, we're saving a lot of money administratively. Medical's almost exactly the same as it's been, which is good considering everything goes up, and we're keeping it at the status quo. So I think we're doing a really good job. And we have the renewal is actually up to the county. We had three-year pricing. And when you see an amendment, it went up a little bit, but that was discussed back when we did the proposal last year. That was just part of it. I did a three-quarter analysis, and it looked to be around $400,000. Things keep going in the right direction.
go in the same direction that they've done.
Great. I mean, I'm okay. It's budgeted money.
Mezzanine health insurance stayed pretty stable. Well, third would even all of them have stayed pretty stable, I believe. In fact, it may have reduced the TV bed, right?
Yeah, this is workers' comp.
Yeah, this is a workers' comp program.
But I mean, health insurance, I know, is a number of these things have been sort of stable, those insurances. Like,
okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
Thank you. Hang on. Trace, you want to go over Resolution 344, Legislative Hotels? Setting a local hearing.
You don't have to rush me because I have to stay for audit. So if you want, if there's other people you
sure?
need to do it for,
we'll
yeah.
Just, okay.
I mean, it's whatever you want, but I'm just telling you.
Right, well, there's a couple of these you're going to request.
Anyway.
Okay, let's go. We'll go to the next one.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
454, calling the organizational meeting next year. Do you have a motion?
Second.
Second, Mr. Archer. Any discussion?
Yes.
It's a wonderful time.
Good pleasure.
Okay. I'm going to bring up tomorrow night in both caucuses, but I thought I'd bring up tonight. The first day of session for the state legislature is going to be on the 6th as well. I'm going to ask the caucuses if they have any opposition to moving the meeting to the 5th.
On Monday night.
Yeah, there's a couple of us who work in the state legislature might need to be up there for that. And it's a heck of a thing to try to get up and down.
We have to do it by the 8th, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the,
I also Monday know that a couple of people are going away after Tuesday. So if nobody has any problem with Monday, I would like to ask, you know, for it to be moved to Monday.
I don't have a problem. So I mean, is there anything administrative wise here in the offices that would affect it?
I asked Vicki, and she said it'd be fine because they're back in work on Friday. So,
Senator Archer, are you back from your?
I'm back, but I'm going to be at the airport.
So. On the 5th. What if we moved it till Wednesday?
I'd be fine with that too.
But no, because you said people are leaving after Tuesday, so we don't want to go.
I think that I heard Legislator Provenzano was leaving, but I wasn't sure if that was true or not. Are you going to be here on the 7th?
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be back or not.
Are you going? Are you going away beforehand?
I'm going away the 26th.
Oh, okay. So later would be better for you.
Yeah. So Wednesday work for you? Hmm? Would Wednesday?
The 7th. Don't go by me because I'm not sure.
Hey, you're going to be in 80 degree weather. You're probably going to say
February. I'd be fine with the 7th. I had a misunderstanding.
Now I have a terrible snowstorm.
What time is this?
6:30.
Because we have a 5:30 economic development on the 7th.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think they're having committee meetings the first
week. Yeah, they're not
here. Yes, we're doing. There's a special presentation.
What time is that, Legislative Orchard?
5:30.
I don't know if the dish has been set, but they're trying to shoot for.
Yeah.
It's not on the calendar.
Listen,
I mean, it could be after session, after the organization meeting.
Oh, your meeting could be after it?
Well, I would
think.
Or it could go at 4:30. I mean, that.
Yeah,
I don't care.
It would be up to.
I'm good.
Anyway, it doesn't have to be.
You know what? Can I just make a suggestion? We probably should have it Monday or Tuesday, because if it snows Wednesday, we're pressed up against the clock. Mm-hmm. You have to set a meeting within a certain period of time, so we should probably stick to Monday or Tuesday.
Not that anybody's going to have a shot for not being on the 8th, but I mean.
Why don't you just pass it as is and then canvass both caucuses?
That's right.
You know what the problem is? I'm fine with that. The problem is it's never perfect for anybody. So sometimes you just got to set the stupid thing and let everybody figure it out.
But definitely everybody's put this in their calendar already. Like right now, this Monday concept is totally new.
So let's just keep it as is for now. All right.
Now, I think if you did it, you'd probably want to change it to the.
I mean, listen, people are in Albany, and I know it's Albany session. Why don't we make it 7:30 then?
Okay.
To give people more time to get back. I mean, that might be easier than changing the date. Just make it an hour later.
Can you make it at 7?
Probably.
Nine.
I mean...
I mean, maybe we shoot just for seven.
Oh, nine ahead of me.
That'll give you enough time to get back seven.
It might be a little close, but I could probably, you know. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to make it no matter what. It's right. Just about, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's make it at 7 o'clock.
You want to
agree. All right, so I'll make a motion to change it to 7.
On the same day.
Does the committee mind if I ask both caucuses if there's any interest in changing the date?
No, I don't.
Too late.
Too late.
I mean, it's no difference.
But what day do you want to go to, Monday?
Doesn't matter. Monday or Wednesday.
I think Wednesday's pushing up against...
Thursday.
You have two people in this room, Jeanette and Lynn, who maybe can't make Monday.
No, I agree. That's why I'd rather do later on Tuesday when everybody's kind of already made their plans.
So we have a motion to move it to second. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We've got to change it.
All right, on the resolution.
Okay. On the resolution as amended?
I have one question.
Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Chairman, are we having a meeting in January after the 6th?
No, they don't have one scheduled, no. It's the organizational meeting. Unless there's a...
Can you make this determination?
He's not chairman yet.
Yeah, just as a point of information, there may need to be an emergency one to pass a resolution for the memorial.
Well, yeah, that's
the Veterans Memorial in order to get the process moving to create the new year, because they want to get it done for Veterans Day.
Also, a refunding, bond refunding resolution we could stick on that agenda and be really timely.
So it should be part of our
statement. Would we be able to do it at the
6th? I don't believe we'll have the bids open on the 6th. Problem.
Yeah. When are they going to be open?
We're still working on that. That's why the county governor hasn't called the chairman yet, because we don't have the exact date. We want to make sure we
Well, maybe we get them before that.
The refunding you're going to do with the organization. Oh. You want to do it there.
Because I don't think there'll be a problem
having
it.
Yeah, hey, one meeting.
All that. I'll make sure.
One meeting. Legislator Ron.
Sorry.
Chairman asked a question.
I'm a meeting chairman.
The only time we can bless is dead.
Okay, so the motion and a second.
Keep it shut over there.
Was your question answered?
Yes, I didn't get an answer.
You're down over there in that corner.
Well, we don't know. We can't see that far. You got an answer.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, resolution 456. Adopting proposed local law 11, local law amending local law number 10 of 2008, local law adopting administrative code to provide the status of contract negotiations.
I'll move it.
Any discussion?
Second.
Nobody seconded.
Oh, I'll second.
I mean, is this thing, you really feel that this thing is needed?
I do. I have for a long time, since 2010.
But it doesn't really accomplish much. I mean, I don't mean to be that
compromised, but it's really accomplishing nothing. I mean, I back in the day, supported something much stronger, but this is, you know, this is, again, compromised language with the executive's office back then.
But what it's doing is telling the executive or requesting for the executive to do the very thing that he does anyway.
Well, that's to me the wrong way to look at this as a body, because just because county executive Mike Hine does this doesn't mean that county executive Kevin Roberts would do this.
I know Kevin Roberts would maybe stonewalling us.
It's a case of you have to look at the office, not the person. And to me,
no, I understand that.
And we shouldn't have to do it with a gun to our head at the last minute when we're not getting the information. We should do it preemptively so we always get the information.
I certainly understand what you're saying, and I tend to agree with that concept that it's not the, you know, it's the position, not the person. But with the charter, they negotiate that contract, and we're the ones that have to approve that contract once it is negotiated. So it wouldn't make a lot of sense if we were totally stonewalled. I mean, if that they wanted to do something like that, and, you know, they're, you know, that executive's asking for problems they don't really need. I mean, sure, do they want them? Okay, well, that's what happens. But, I mean, the point is that in the end, the contract is negotiated, and then we approve it. And one of the things I can have to say is, you know, in the past, as you know, it used to be negotiated, and the legislature did the negotiations, and, you know, I served as chairman for 4 years, and that was part of the negotiations. And the problem is you need to be able to have a conversation without it going out in the streets. You know, negotiations can't be done in the paper, and you can't constantly, you know, the updating is, what are you going to say? Yeah, we met. Do you have any terms? No, we can't say the terms because we're negotiating. And in good faith, you can't do that, because if you did that, if I told Tracy, she's going to blab it to somebody, and next thing you know, it's all over the, state.
Okay, Legislator Lonnie.
You know, I'm going across the street.
You know, Legislator Dodson, I don't think this resolution is saying they have to spill their guts about every single thing that's
good.
It's just basically saying, hey, we're meeting we met 2 weeks ago, we're going to meet next week with the PBA union, and, you know, we're in binding arbitration with this union. That's I think it's just to be, he's not looking to get the minutes or, you know, find out everything that's going on, because it's not our job.
It was specifically
to get an update. Are there any surprises? Are we going to get hit with four contracts in one meeting?
The last time,
but you can do that any time. Call them up.
The last time we got a memorandum of agreement with a union, one of the last times, one of the last two, was CSEA, which we found out about from a fax that was errantly sent to the legislative offices. And this was like 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
And is it any different from when the legislature did it?
I would hope so.
But Let's say Johnson, they were legislators. I was a chairman.
The legislature.
But you kept it to yourself. You didn't bring it out to others.
Listen, I'm fine. I understand. I think if we called right now, Ken and staff would certainly say, hey, we're meeting with them. Their contract's up in 2 months. I don't think it'd be an issue. So
again,
either way,
which is great. But again, you know, Mr. Cornell and County Executive Hine and Adele and all the fine people that work in the county executive's office aren't always going to be there. It's going to be somebody new.
Well, he's not always that fine, Ken. I'm going to go through.
So, I mean, that's, you know, this is, to me, you know, building for the future for the legislature. That's what this is for me. So
I'm willing to support Ken.
Well, whatever you guys want.
I don't think we need to beat it to death, though.
No, we don't. I need to voice my opinion, and I'll be announced.
Because you know what? There's only four people that can ask anyway.
Call the vote.
The chair, majority leader, minority leader. So only three people can actually make the request.
Well, anyone can make the request.
No.
They're not required to give the request.
Right, right. Exactly.
I think I know the county executive would answer any legislator's question.
I know, and it would. That's why... It's.
And I feel like I've made that clear like 16 times.
I know.
It's not directed at the current administration.
Yeah, no, that's. I know. But with that said, it's not the end of the world. So,
okay. All right, how do you want me to vote, Jason?
Okay. Call the question. And all favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm a no.
Are you kidding me? You're some piece of work.
No, I just said, I think it's
not
really
contrarian.
Okay. Resolution 466. Reappointing, confirming a member to the Ethics.
I'll move it.
Board of Ethics, Clayton Van Cleef.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Resolution 408, setting a public hearing on proposed local law establishing an automatic re-canvassing procedure in and for the County of Ulster, to be held January 6th.
I'll move it.
And I'll second it.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. I've just been through a very close recount, an election where 33,000 votes were cast and the winner was declared by 38 votes. So I've got a new appreciation for some of the intricacies that go into the new voting system. And a new knowledge of the kind of things that don't count on the machines when they go through that might be counted through a re-canvass. In Columbia County, they do a mandatory hand count of all the off-scan ballots, and the result changed by 9 votes.
Wow.
When
it's tight, or they always have an open ballot?
Every election, they automatically have a full recount, even when it's not tight.
And we got beat up last meeting because they didn't want to do it if it was under 20 votes. It was a hardship.
It was probably one of those.
We were berated by the election commissioners about this, mm-hmm. that they don't have the time, the staff,
yep.
the energy. I mean, it was a...
Well, they have the same staff.
And before...
And here's a county that does it on every race,
yes.
So go figure.
It's a small county.
But it's still...
Very small
it's
county.
It's still bigger than every legislative people. District. It's still bigger than a legislative... A county race is still much bigger than a legislative race.
It is. Now, there's
embarrassing.
I'd personally like a little bit more time with our Board of Election staff to talk about this, to try and have them come up with some figures on what they think it would cost. I want to have some more discussion here about, you know, the different things. Do we want it to be less than 20 votes, or do we want it to be 10 votes? When do we want it triggered? Do we want the losing or the candidate that's down to have the authority to say, I don't want to do that? Because if we do a re-canvass, you're going to have lawyers, you're going to have expenses, and it's going to be costly.
Can I make a comment? If Columbia County... If Columbia County, which is much smaller than us, their re-canvass was 9 votes, I certainly don't want to go under 20 votes.
5 lawyers from each side there.
Yeah, that's not our problem.
Listen,
we got a staff over there that's their job, is to make sure the elections are... The votes are counted. You know, in my business, more work is good for you. So I don't understand why they wouldn't want to have more opportunity to work, because as long as you're busy, you're gainfully employed. If you're not busy, then you may have to look for other stuff to do. Legislative Bartel is going to find you.
Just to Legislator Ronk's comment, this law has that provision. It's on page 3G. It's actually, it's a typo, the losing instead of losing candidate. You might want to just change the title here. In a contest that meets that criteria, may waive the automatic recount provision.
Okay.
And I also, in terms of the attorneys, I mean, having been through a recount myself, with a complimentary attorney yeah. working for free, I mean, I think this relieves the burden of the candidate, because if it's automatic, you don't need to necessarily have an attorney.
Right.
So I said to the chairman, I think this is great. I'm really grateful for this piece of legislation.
Yeah, well, the Board of Elections bosses won't be happy. Let's
put
it that way.
That's disappointing, but I think it's great.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yep.
My good friend, Legislator Ronk, chatted today, and he just said his newfound wisdom in the accomplishments that occurred in the race down in Orange County, gave a new appreciation for this. Now, he asked me if I would postpone it or put it off while he tried to think up some things to possibly strengthen it that he may have garnered from his observation. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, if you said, give me a month so I can nitpick it to death, I wouldn't be very happy. But...
Something I learned today, some counties have a machine that counts the absentees and affidavits, and some counties do a hand count of the affidavits. Now, our county, we do a hand count of the affidavits and absentees, which is even going to come up with a different number than Orange County, which has a machine that they purchased for a lot of money that's unreliable that counts the absentees and affidavits.
Can you appeal that count?
No.
Even Orange County can't appeal the...
I mean, you could take it to a judge, but
the machine
has to count them.
Well,
I mean, I support it as it is, but if somebody needs time to look at something, I mean, it's not something that has to be done right now because, you know, we got time before the election. I'd like that in line before the next election, so...
That's fine with me.
And also, you know, by February, we get it in line by February or March, yeah. I'm happy, it's fine. I mean, but I really think that, you know, it makes sense to do.
I guess a question for the chair, through you. These numbers, the margins of victory and the 20, you know, the 20 votes and the 0.5% like, how did you model this after something else, or how did you come up with those numbers?
Yeah. It's just all over the country they do this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And we tried to, Chris Ragucci helped me with it a lot, Jay, and you'll see where up to 3,000 votes is 0.5%, and over 3,000 votes, it's 0.2%, because it could be expanding the recount potential, and from what I read mm-hmm. Mathematically, probable mistakes don't grow as exponentially just because there's more ballots.
Yeah.
So therefore, you get just as good a reference with 0.2%, without expanding it to the 2 measures or beyond what's necessary.
Yeah, because these numbers made sense to sense to me. I mean, I don't know if you want to kick it around, but this felt for me super thought out.
I just had another thought. I mean, we're just setting a public hearing. I wouldn't mind moving forward with the public hearing and then gathering more information and seeing if there was something else we wanted to do. And if I don't come up with it, but we're going to have to change the time. But
possibly
I wouldn't.
Okay, I just want to say, yeah. I mean, I don't want to get it dumbed down too much. That I mean, if you're saying that Columbia County's 9 votes, that's a big swing in a smaller county, mm-hmm. and it contradicts, in my opinion, everything that the two commissioners said in our month mm-hmm. last meeting. Totally contradicts. They sat here and told us those machines do not make a mistake; they are perfect, and it's a waste of time, and there's no need to recount the votes.
There's going to be a big. And again, this is where it's going to get, the first time it happens, it's going to be ugly and it's going to be bloody, because there's going to be arguments about voter intent and there's going to be a court battle.
Well, you know what? And the courts are there to make sure it's fair. And if it's fair, that's all we care about.
I know, but I'm just saying that's, you know.
And fair is all I care about.
Say, though,
it takes more.
That's what it's all about.
I'm not disagreeing. I'll get it right.
Yeah.
Laying all the cards on the table.
So let's pass
one of the concerns.
Let's answer it.
Now, I'll just remind some legislators a few years back. There was a legislator that lost by 1 or 2 votes.
Mm-hmm. One vote.
Do
you know last year's legislative problems on last year's Plattekill judge race was tied.
Right.
Tied. And nobody can go back to count those ballots. And that's absurd.
Nobody, right.
And I won my first race by a recount.
Really?
Yeah,
you know,
I'd say let's pass.
Yeah, let's pass. I'm on liquid shape. Okay. All in favor?
Oh, wait.
At
this point, the public hearing is scheduled for before the legislative meeting is now going to start.
I was going to say maybe we could amend it to be at the organizational meeting, like 15 minutes before the organizational meeting.
Why don't we make it the
organizational meeting?
7:15.
Let's do February meeting. It's not an emergency.
Do it on the February meeting.
Yeah, it's not
amazing. It's not an emergency.
That gives you time to fetter out whatever you need there.
I guess Board of Elections more time to bother out and get voting for it.
More feet, you could always
make it even tougher.
But you could look at it and make changes if it's something.
That would be February 18th.
Yeah, document each ballot.
Well, you need to do that, or you're going to do
Tom Chief and EW on every single ballot.
Doesn't matter, Nate. February 11th or February 18th.
Caucus night, which would be.
Two meeting night.
Meeting
night. I don't care.
That's meeting night. Fine. You're not going to get 1,000 people speaking on it. So, I mean, it's not going to be.
You're going to have 2.
Yeah.
We're not going to be clapping.
We're going
to be clapping.
We don't want to do our jobs and come college. Never.
Now
then.
Okay, so we're moving to change the date. Who moved to change the date? Ross Donaldson.
Okay. As amended?
As amended.
All in favor? Senator Monk, anything else?
No.
Okay. Opposed? Carried. Okay. We're moving right along. Resolution number 344, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 12, a local law regulating the use of polystyrene foam, disposable food service ware by food service establishments, to be held on Tuesday, January 6th. Do we want to maybe?
I was going to ask if we could move it to February meeting. I think 6th is too soon. So it has to be moved and seconded so we can
start. If it's going to pass, at least we'll know the date ahead of time. So we'll go. Okay, so that's going to be Tuesday, February 18th?
18th. Is that the session date? Yeah.
18th, I think. Let's say it on 18th.
18th.
Yeah, okay, I remember.
Okay, you're a yes, let's say it on.
Ken had asked for that in committee.
What's that?
He doesn't have a resolution.
We're talking about the February 18th.
We're on the coffee
cup. Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be a long Skyping public hearing, I think.
I was going to ask if we could move it to 18th.
So why don't we do that caucus night?
I'd rather it be in session
night. It could potentially be too busy to public hearing.
I'd like it to be in session night.
I think this is going to be one where you may get some businesses coming
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I'd like it to be as much... Night. Session night.
I just think session gets too crazy. We don't start voting.
Yeah, I do. I think it would be crazy with session night.
I mean, if we do this one session night, let's move the other one to the week before.
Yeah,
well, the other one's not going to get, you're going to get...
You don't know.
You're going to get the BOE, whatever you get and say.
I'd be fine with holding it as Tracy wants on meeting night. I mean, you know, we're here to do a job. We're here as long as we need to be.
Turnout. Then we get the best legislative turnout.
I'll be Skyping in.
Whatever you want.
I'll be Skyping in for 3 hours, 10 hours.
Okay, first of all, we don't have a motion.
I moved it.
No, we had Donaldson and Archer moved in second.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Okay, so now it's open for discussion. We voted on a date change. You all agree to that, right?
Yeah.
If it passed.
Was there a motion to do that?
I move we change the date to February 18th at 7:15.
Legislator Archer seconds.
And then vote on that.
Everybody in favor of
the amended date?
Amended date.
I would set the time. If I could just suggest, I think, is there one more public hearing? Or no? Is these the only two public hearings?
The only two that I know.
So far, never. Yeah.
But I don't have the other agenda. I'm not sure what the other committees have done. But they'll start.
No, they would come here.
They start at 7. 7:05.
Okay. They'll start at 7. Vicki will schedule them.
Why don't we do like 6:45?
The first one. The first one would be quick. Do the first one first. And then do the other one.
Do the election one at 6:45.
Yeah, because that should be done.
And then the other one at 7. Or 6:55.
Immediately
after.
For scheduling, you just schedule it like 5 minutes apart, and then if everyone's late.
So they can't start earlier than this time. They can always start later than this time.
Right. So do five minutes later.
So,
okay. Discussion on resolution 344.
All righty. Where is this modeled after what? Where? How? When?
Okay. It's modeled... It began, as we know, there were two competing proposals. Jeanette brought forward Albany County's law, which is what we used as the first model, but we pulled a lot from San Jose in California and models from around the country, including the original legislation, which is New York's first county, was Nassau. So it came as a compromise. We were trying to reach a compromise, Mary and I, with Legislator Provenzano, to find something we could all agree upon, but where we split finally was the idea of extending it beyond just chain food stores, which chain food establishments, Albany County's legislation deals with chain food establishments only, and the committee was looking for something more comprehensive. So we moved this more comprehensive resolution forward as amended in committee and postponed the other resolution pending the outcome of the public hearing, then this moving through the legislative process. This legislation allows for an out for businesses that don't make a certain amount of money and also an out if the business can show that the packaging they're using, there is no alternative for it. Not to speak about the differences, but another thing that we were looking was to allow for recyclable alternatives, not just compostable or biodegradable, because compostable and biodegradable products are very expensive. And I can bring forward, I have tons of
I can inundate you with documents, but I'm going to bring forward relevant cost comparisons from the big suppliers in our county. But what we really came out of committee with was wanting to hear from the public and businesses first, and then we're not going to be trying to rush this through. So we're hopeful to gain some insight from the public hearing as well.
What is the
I've got a lot of issues, policy issues with this local law. But one of the biggest ones to me is that in order for business to be exempt from it for making less than a certain amount of money, they've got to provide tax records, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That's to me invasive for the county to be asking for that kind of information from a business.
They have to supply their stuff to the state now, anyway.
Yeah, and if they didn't want the exemption, then they wouldn't have to show it. I mean, I'm pretty confident in places where this is in place. And I've talked to administrators around the country. There are places where not a single person has asked for the exemption, because when you see the price list, there are, again, if we're allowing recyclable alternatives, there are products that are within fractions of pennies, if not, some are fractions of pennies cheaper than the styrofoam, but within fractions of pennies difference. The highest difference I saw was 1 cent. So it's not ultimately a giant hardship. I also, in doing the research, because we were looking at the two pieces of legislation, you know, I called every fast food chain establishment, not every outpost, but, you know, for Burger King, I called one Burger King, I called one. And more than, there's roughly 20, again, I'll provide this list, you know, after the public hearing, but there's roughly 20, and more than half of them have, through corporate, stopped using polystyrene foam entirely. So, you know, if you could look at it like the corporate responsibility sort of is setting the mode, and this is happening. You know, we know New York City already passed. New York City passed the ban.
State of California.
State of California.
Emulate them. I'm sorry.
Just, I don't know if you have this effective January 1st, 2015.
That's been changed.
That was changed. That's a mistake.
Okay. So, want to just do June 30th?
Give them, hold on.
Oh, yeah, this is changed.
This is changed.
No, it was changed. Okay, I can tell you what it says. I don't know why this is the wrong statute. What it says is that it will be effective for chain food establishments and the county 6 months after its adoption, and it will be, and this is, it's in the packet, I mean, in our packet, that's what it looks like, and it will be effective for all other food establishments 1 year after adoption. So there's no set date, because we've gone through, like, how do we...
We don't know.
Wouldn't they do, like, a two-tier that way?
We discussed it, and we thought that because there was some concern about the non-chain food establishments, it came out of the discussion of beginning with the legislation that was for chain food establishments only, and since we were talking about something more comprehensive, felt that it would give the smaller business, although they're not all smaller businesses, the chance to adjust and use up their product. Corporate chain food establishments, if they couldn't use up their product in 6 months, they could send it back to corporate, you know, you assume, but at least allowing a year for the committee felt. I said to the committee, I'm okay with passing it all at the same time, or they wanted the rollout. They felt that the rollout would be easier, and also easier to get the information out to. It gets to quite a lot more businesses when you're talking about everyone versus just the chain food establishment. So allow a little more time to get the info out.
I just have a question, maybe you can clarify.
Yeah.
So assuming there's a chain food establishment,
you guys definitely have
more than one in the county, whatever it is. Is your intention that those offenses should be cumulative? In other words, McDonald's in Ellenville?
No.
Okay.
No, can I?
The
chain food establishment means the food service establishment or food service establishment is operating.
So I have the wrong.
Or are part of 15 or more food service establishment locations nationally.
Okay.
I know what you're asking.
If someone offends in Ellenville and someone offends in
Kingston,
and it's both
McDonald's.
The way this is written, about fines are cumulative, and each day that a violation occurs shall constitute a separate violation. you could have Ellenville, and this is hyper-technical, and I apologize, but you could have Ellenville and Warsing and Kingston and all kind of at different dates. Right. And I think this may be more complicated. I'm not saying it's wrong. More complicated by the fines and cumulative part and then the misdemeanor part. I think that makes it difficult. Not certainly impossible, but I think
you put
in a misdemeanor and somebody's going to have a criminal record, a corporation criminal record thingy is very complicated. Filing a corporation guilty of a crime is that's a big deal. That's
definitely the intent was for each business to be a standalone business. And using the example of McDonald's, even though they're chain food establishments, many of them are franchises, so they're individually owned. But regardless, not they're all, they're corporate buying.
And
that.
So most of the franchises are owned by the same corporate entity.
Well, for example, the one in the McDonald's in New Paltz, I know the owner, they own the McDonald's in New Paltz. That's right. It. Yeah, I mean, they're not corporate. They're not
most of them are individually.
But that's the... No, the corporate's trying to fight back. But we're in a different conversation. But I hear your point, and it should be... I mean, if this isn't clear, which I wish you had brought it up to me...
Well, this version might be different.
No, it's the same. That the law, the offenses have never changed. But it's meant to be like a per place.
But isn't that if you look at... food chain, a chain food establishment, a food service establishment, is it defined in the...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then you have to read just in the sanction part to be just clear. Not terrible by any means. Yeah. When you put in a misdemeanor, when you put in misdemeanor, people start to really pay attention because that's a criminal violation and somebody's going to wind up with a criminal record.
So you're saying we need to clarify that the chain food establishment, and when you talk about chain food establishment, it's specific to the roof.
Number four, I think, is number four makes it complicated. I'm not saying it's wrong. Fines are cumulative in each day that a violation occurs. So that makes, you can have trials in different places at different times, so that makes that one. That's number one.
That's modeled off of many, many, many places. But I am trying to be clear. I'm not so as concerned about number four as what I think you're saying about the chain food establishment being treated. If a violation happens at McDonald's Ellenville, that should be that should be McDonald's Ellenville violation. Sticking with McDonald's Ellenville versus
not a problem to fix. That's the
Okay. So that should be fixed.
But so it should be each physical location.
Yes.
Is its own
easily fixed.
Clock. Has its own clock.
So do we change it right now or can we change it before the February hearing?
I think we change it now.
If it's easily fixable, let's
change it now.
Yeah, because again, the public hearing, I'd rather not have.
We can just add a paragraph for the purposes of this section. Mm-hmm.
Number five, number five. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's definitely, I wouldn't want it to.
All right, we'll
talk about
mess
line,
and
we'll fix that. No, you're right. Okay, so where do we stand with it?
Kathy's trying to fix it right now.
Okay.
Like, just that clarification on making sure that each place is treated individually. But I want you to... But this is definitely... You guys have totally wrong draft, just so you
should
know.
Should I help you off?
Because the date, that's the same, but... If you look at the effective dates, it's not just the end date. I'll tell you. Lynn has the section four, those dates are gone, not January 1st, not July 1st. Like, I don't know, this is an old draft. It's now 6 months, 1 year.
That's the one I was talking about.
Lynn, can you pass
me the... Okay, I feel better than just the year, but anyway.
Can you pass me the ways and means?
9 months. Okay. So what do you want to do? How long is it going to take you? Do you want us to go to another resolution and we'll come back?
You sure?
But can I just make sure that you guys pass the accurate document, which is this is not it?
That's the Ways and Means document.
So,
how did we get the wrong one?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, Ways and Means has the right one.
I don't know.
I can quick walk you through the changes that are, they're simple, no. But just so you're passing the right thing.
Okay,
if you start in...
Which one passed committee?
This, but not this draft.
That draft.
This draft.
That way, because I remember when we passed it in committee.
Yeah. So if you go to section 3, definitions, this will be fast, but I just want to make sure you're passing
the right
thing.
I got it.
Strike biodegradable.
Wait.
Just strike it out of the definitions.
Section 3.
Okay.
Regulation?
Definition.
All right.
Got it?
Oh, I'm going to write it.
Strike compostable. The whole definition. And then the date, as I told you, the on or after. Section 4, those dates change. From the honor after January.
Honor after the past.
Yeah, and the honor after those changed. And then,
Where did the form go?
Section 6, enforcement. Section 6, enforcement A.
Yep.
Says the Commissioner of Health or designee shall have, strike the word primary, have responsibility for, and then add the words notification and.
After what?
After 4. So the Commissioner of Health or designee shall have responsibility for notification and enforcement of this local law. That's it.
Okay.
Other than the dates, but again, if you're...
Yeah. And then we're looking at the misdemeanor language?
Yeah, maybe I should leave that. I don't know what.
Are we looking to maybe get rid of misdemeanor?
No, I want to leave that. Again, I've modeled after a lot of...
I think you want to put the word unclassified in front of the word misdemeanor.
Where are we?
Misdemeanor.
3. Page 6, number 3.
Okay. Unclassified?
Right. You want should be an unclassified misdemeanor, correct?
What is the penalty on
it? In other words, it could be jail time unless we don't know if it's an A misdemeanor or a B misdemeanor. Right? So we'd want to have it as non-classified misdemeanor, I assume.
Violation.
No, they have misdemeanor.
I know. Violation. No.
And we want it as an unclassified misdemeanor, I think.
Yeah, because otherwise they would be subject to jail time.
Right.
For not recycling.
But there's A misdemeanors and B misdemeanors.
Yeah, but you know, Trace, the only difference is, and I'm not trying to shoot it down, but...
Is that non or
if,
on?
If,
thank you.
If somebody orders the wrong, you know, things on purpose, mm-hmm, who goes to jail? The owner that maybe got people hired to do the right thing, but they're ordering the wrong stuff on purpose.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's the problem.
I think a misdemeanor is kind of
only because it's not an individual; it's a corporation. And who, at the end of the day, who's responsible? The owner or the person ordering? I'd hate to see the owner go to jail if they live 200 miles away. They're paying people to do it. People they're paying to do it wrong. They don't get the trainer.
Yeah. So what are you saying? What are you suggesting changes to?
I'm not. I'm just saying. I was saying.
Listen,
misdemeanors have A misdemeanors and B misdemeanors.
Why don't we change it so if it's like McDonald's, we all get free Big Macs. If it's Burger King, we get free Whoppers. If it's Panera Bread, we get
once a year.
I always
regret
it. If it was Dunkin' Donuts, you get coffee, but it's a Starbucks.
Listen, we don't get Paul anymore mad at us.
I go to McDonald's for my coffee. Some talk.
All right. So where are we? Let's get back on track. We got busy.
You're going to skip this and go to the next resolution.
Are we going to
misdemeanor then, right?
I mean, Chase, I think it's pretty nasty before we want to get rid of misdemeanor.
Okay.
Only because I think...
A violation?
What was your guys...
I'd be comfortable with a violation. I mean...
We're unclassified, you're saying?
You said it's going to be
a misdemeanor. You have to define it. A misdemeanor, B misdemeanor. Or unclassified misdemeanor. If you're going to keep it as a misdemeanor. All I'm saying is generally, Tracy, that makes it, a misdemeanor makes it much more complicated.
Do you want to do violations? We already got a violation. You want to up the ante?
Yeah, and I feel like I mean.
Well, they're all violations. At the end of the day, it's how much you're paying for the fine.
I think this is modeled after, in part, our own recycling law. I wish I'd have to have it in front of me.
But a recycling law is an individual.
Right.
So it's a little easier to get.
I don't think we're going to get. I mean, I don't.
I think it's unclassified.
But just switch it to unclassified, and we'll see what happens at the total hearing. Again, you know.
Okay. I do it under unclassified.
Is everybody all right with unclassified for the public hearing? Kenneth?
Okay, and then can Cappy read out his wording?
I think it'd be something like, if I can read my own writing, for the purposes of this section, each physical location or establishment shall be treated individually, and offenses and fines for separate locations shall be considered individually. That's if I read my own writing, right?
Yeah, that's
having
I'll go down. I'll go down.
Yep.
Yeah, because even beyond chains, I would want that for individual people who have two or three outposts that aren't chained.
Yeah, each location is responsible.
Yeah.
All right. I'll second it. Do you have a motion? Dave made a motion. Archer second. Yeah. Is it Tracy Archer?
I'm good with that. Yeah.
Okay. All in favor of the amendment?
Good. It's good catch.
Okay. Carrie. Okay. Any further discussion? We're just setting a public hearing.
Yeah.
I'm moving to the public hearing.
I think the 18th is a good day for public hearing.
Are you going to be away? Is that why?
No. Nice, thanks.
Okay, I'll second it. I'll second it. We don't have anybody taking notes, but you've got the recording.
Okay.
Any other discussion as amended? Consider it.
I think there's some questions regarding the misdemeanors and the penalties and stuff for me.
Oh,
they didn't know on the public hearing.
Okay.
I think we should iron this out before we not after.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so let's the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so it carries. Okay, carry the one. Okay. Resolution 314, setting a policy for county-owned vehicles to utilize alternative fuel sources.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? Legislative Bartell?
Can I start?
Sure.
Okay, so... I spoke to Chairman Parity after this meeting, and I did try to call Leslie.
Yeah, we were able
to. Yeah, we've been playing from the deck. This came after we had a long meeting. We had a presentation, which was insightful, but at the same time, both Manna and I, and his compromise actually was Manna, Legislator Green's suggestion, pending information about upstream and downstream emissions. More than anything, and I'm just one vote on that committee, but I regret my vote, and I'm here to ask that we refer it back to committee. And it's less on content than on fact that I just feel like what we sent out and what we've sent to this committee and what's going to Ways and Means is not a well-crafted resolution. As you can see, we're resolving that we're going to craft a green fleet policy, which we are going to do and we're committed to do, but I don't think we need a resolution to say we're going to be back with something. And then the second resolve that the pilot program, I too had a lot of questions that night about which vehicles and what the mileage was on those vehicles and et cetera, et cetera. And I think if we're asking the legislature to spend $25,000, which I'm not opposed to. I mean, I think an LPG program is a possibility, but I'd like to be offering something that's got some detail attached to it. I'd like to be offering the plan and the LPG policy if we're gonna offer the LPG policy. And I think they're, you know, two separate thoughts and which both need detail. So I would ask that it go back to committee. I know that there's differences of opinion on that, but that's just my
request.
I don't necessarily disagree with everything that Legislator Bartell has just said, in that, you know, I wasn't in favor of adding a lot of the things that we added into the resolution, and I voiced that at the committee meeting. I personally think that we shouldn't craft an overarching policy for the county until we find out what direction we want to go in. You don't craft a policy. To me, you don't craft a policy and say we're going to go that way. You know, you would participate or, you know, do a pilot program to see if this is an avenue that we want to go. Is it gonna work? Is it gonna work for the sheriff's vans alone, let alone patrol cars or any other, you know, any unmarked, you know, vehicles that he has or anything like that? I think that you know, this is a positive thing for the county to start. I think the gentleman who came made a great presentation. I think we should move forward on it. That's my
okay. I just want to say, you know, I understand. We Tracy, Legislator Bartels and I spoke. You know, there's probably hundreds and hundreds of communities and counties across the country, states, that have this policy in place. So, to me, when it got struck from the budget request by the sheriff, I think it was wrong. I think it was poor without coming back to work with the legislature. It was I think it was wrong. And I think we are, Ulster County is clearly behind in our alternative energy. You know, we don't have any at our transfer stations, at our old closed landfills around the county. We don't have any cutting off the satellite buildings, the buildings around. We don't have any you know, what do they call it? The things that go on the roofs, the solar panels. We don't have any of that stuff. We are way behind. And I just think this is a good start. And I think we should, because it works. People aren't passing and doing retrofitting their vehicles for this sort of stuff if it didn't work. It works. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It doesn't matter if it's oil, it's crack, it's whatever.
Did Verizon have an amendment?
Verizon's got, not where I work, there are a few vehicles, but Verizon is greening their whole fleet. Yeah, everybody's doing it. You know what? If business is doing it, then sure as heck, government's always a little behind. So if business is doing it, the government should be doing it. And if we don't do it, if we don't do it here and start it, it's not going to be done. It's just going to be one of those resolutions that just disappears. Legislator Archer.
Yeah, I mean, what I felt, and I'm not as well versed as Legislator Bartels and others may be, but you know, the thing that I find problematic is that, you know, there was such a debate at the Ways and Means about this particular topic, because it's still a fossil fuel. If we're moving away from fossil fuels, what's sustainable? What, you know, if we're greening, let's talk about sustainable. Let's look at it from the, and I feel like instead of rushing out with something that even the chair of the Environmental Committee is not comfortable with, I would be a proponent of deferring it. What's deferring it another month and giving an opportunity to get a clarification around what is the position with regards to the fuel types used? How are we doing it? Are we moving? Just to do it to say we're doing it without the proper thought and understanding of what the implications are. I would be a proponent of at least supporting the chair's request to push it back to committee to resolve that. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
When was this first proposed?
2 months ago? 3 months ago?
Well, it was first brought up in August, September?
Yeah, well, 3 months ago.
We first mentioned it probably in March and was brought
right.
in
September. You know, and I certainly understand the fossil fuel argument to some degree, but we're not going to be weaning ourselves off fossil fuel anytime soon. We're still using it. And this has proven effective in many areas. We know that it automatically cuts emissions by about 60% of what it does. At least that's the numbers I've got. Now,
yeah,
you can argue any way you want, and then people bring up, you can bring in so many other arguments, but there, you know, the point is, many have done this and it seems to work, and I don't, you know, see why we shouldn't do it. I mean, it's a pilot, it's we're trying it out, and I think it makes sense.
I've got a lot to say about it because it's been languishing for a while. I do find it interesting that maybe the resolution wasn't well crafted, but we just crafted a public hearing, and we might send people to jail at this table here going, well, should we give them a year or 6 months, or should it be a misdemeanor? I mean, my Lord. All this was a study. S-T-U-D-Y. When we mentioned this at our speech about it's time to start thinking about greening our fleet, and why don't we run a test. What is a test? Direct observation. Plain, simple, look, record. Who came to me and said, I wouldn't mind participating with that? Sheriff Paul Van Wartel. Not one other person in the county in a department came along and said, gee, this sounds interesting. One of the legislators said, gee, that sounds like a good idea, John. My friend Legislator Rock over there. Now, some of the folks don't want to go substitute one fossil fuel for the next. They want it to be electric. Pretty soon we're going to see airplanes flying over our head with no engines, right? They're all going to be solar powered. You know, in the long run, we're all dead.
On their head.
And right now, I take two little pills to sustain me. A little olive oil pill and a little one to, like a baby aspirin. But I'm in a study. I've been in two studies to see if some medication, I'm in a blind study, might possibly help somebody in the future. It might make somebody live a little longer. The folks that don't want to do this would say, well, we're going to die anyway, so what the hell is the difference? You know, it makes you feel better for a little while. I can't imagine how a study is making policy other than to say, let's test it. Let's see if it works. I don't want to start debating people about idling policy and whether it is 8,000 miles or 22,000 miles. We just want to find out. Maybe it's not a good idea, but there's no other program in the county. The county bought 150 vehicles since 2010 or something. No policy. Yes, in the long run, we're all dead. What's wrong with, just like I'm doing, participating in a study? And when the study's over, they'll have to tell me, well, I like they did in the last one. I was taking niacin. It about set me crazy. Well, maybe it's shortening your life a little bit. It's not going to work. I can live with that.
All right. Well, rather than me dying talking about this, I think I'll call for the vote.
You can't call for the vote.
I could.
He can recommend that you call for the vote.
Yeah. I recommend you call for the vote.
All
right, we have a motion. We have a second. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I just think we're not going into this blind. I mean, people have been doing it, and they continue to do it, and it's just, we know it's going to work. It's going to work. Maybe it could be better, and we could work on something different in the future, but I think if we do this... and start with a few vehicles that it'll move us in the right direction.
I might have to pass the committee unanimously, and then some other folks came out of the wilderness to say, no, the instructions are you don't go that way.
Okay. Call a question. All in favor?
All right.
I opposed. Okay. Carried. Okay. Final resolution is... Resolution 458, establishing a policy against suspicionless warrant checks at the entrance of certain county buildings. It's on the back page. Do I have a motion? I'll make a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion, Legislator Archer. Okay, open for discussion. Paul, do you want to speak on it?
Sure. Is nobody in front of me?
Do you want to go first? Or?
I didn't hear it. I'm going to go first. Voted on in a second. So
there's a motion and a second, so now we're open for
discussion. Yes, it's my opinion that out of anybody in county government, I'm the only one that has done anything. You've got a copy of the letter we've written to the Attorney General's office. I've told this committee, I've told other committees, we suspended it, and we will keep it suspended until such time as we get a definitive answer one way or the other. If the definitive answer goes in my favor, for sure we will start it up again. If it goes the other way, we won't do it. You know, and at this point, I don't know which way it's going to go. Kathy says we're wrong, or was of the opinion that we should spend it because nobody's sure. The Sheriff's Association, from the letter that I got from you guys, says they think it's okay that we do that. And the resolution here says the county legislature has deemed or determined that sufficient warrant checks are not necessary to ensure the safety. But before you vote on any of this, I'd like to see how you determine that so I can make further comment on it. The last thing I'd like to say is, you know, trust me, when I say we're not doing it until we know for sure whether it's right or wrong, you can trust me, you can take it to the bank. The other thing is, now we're going to get into the whether you can set policy for the sheriff's office. I'm an independently elected official. You might be able to set policy for the building, but if I do security in the building, you can't set my policy. That's my opinion. And hopefully we don't get that far down the road. So that's my two cents. Well, that's why I would ask that it be tabled to we get an answer from the Attorney General's office or somebody in this body gets a determination from someplace else, and also till I get to see the determination that the legislature made that it's unnecessary so I could review that.
Okay. Let's see what else.
Okay, so there's a lot to turn around. First of all, coming out of Ways and Means through the budget cycle, and then the budget vote, Paul agreed to suspend the policy, I think that was the word he used, pending a written policy change by the legislature. That's what was discussed in Ways and Means, and that's why I pulled my amendment, and that's what we all walked away from the table with the understanding of. Subsequent to that, and knowing that this meeting was coming, we were talking about a short time frame in terms of the end of the year, I reached out to Kathy to help craft something to keep it simple, to have it only cover the suspicionless warrant checks, which I didn't think that anyone up to that point had discussed any broader implications of the security of the county buildings, and I certainly didn't want to micromanage the sheriff in that regard. So I asked that Kathy put together something that spoke to a policy that disallowed suspicionless warrant checks, and that's what you have before you. The sheriff and I talked, along with Rich Gerentine, we had a conference call at the end of last week, and the sheriff acknowledged, and stop me if I'm wrong at any time, Paul, that if this policy were to be passed, sheriff still has the authority to do a warrant check with suspicion. It wouldn't stop the sheriff from doing that. It just stops the warrant checks as a policy, as a suspicionless policy. In other words, you can't ask everyone for identification and then run a warrant check. I do take Paul at his word when he says he's going to suspend the policy till he hears from the Attorney General. That said, I think what we said is that we would change the policy to reflect the will of the legislature to no longer have this. I mean, we got information in executive session. Otherwise, I'm also, as far as the Attorney General, and I appreciate you circulating that letter, Paul, but as far as the Attorney General, I mean, that's, again, it might be the top attorney for the state, but it's one attorney's opinion. It's not going to prevent litigation, et cetera.
Well, who do you want to speak?
I can address that specific point.
Yeah, legislator. All right.
We're probably going to talk about the same thing, but go ahead.
I have spoken to the Attorney General's office, Paul, and twice. And their last word to me was, if it continues, they will bring a civil rights. I'm not saying they're right or wrong.
Right. Can I ask who you spoke to?
I can get you her name as soon as I get back to my office.
Well, I would respectfully submit that we wait till we get the advisory's opinion.
Well, I didn't ask
from. Yeah. I did.
Okay.
Right. Then you should have got a copy of the letter because I gave it to everybody.
Well, Vince Bradley spoke to me.
Right. I knew that.
There was a woman from New York City that called me. I might be able to dig her name out of my phone. She felt that it was clear. I'm not saying I disagree or agree with it. She felt it was clear that it was unlawful, not illegal, unlawful. She called me again yesterday. I have played phone tag with her. She was quite confident. Her and I discussed a few cases. So I thought it was just important to update that I have spoken to the Attorney General's office. they made their opinion very clear to me.
Let's set him up. Okay, Paul, and then let's set him up.
Paul, go first.
Yeah.
No, and I know that he has spoke to somebody. I still want to wait to get the opinion from the advisory board. I know the cases they're talking about. They're the same cases we submitted to the State Sheriff's Association. The State Sheriff's Association says, no, it's not that clear that they feel that we are doing that, and they felt that if we got sued, that we would win. But I wasn't comfortable with that. So now we go to the State Attorney General's office, the highest law enforcement in the county, or in the state, I'm sorry, to give us an advisory opinion. So there's no reason to have a resolution here, but we're not doing anything until we hear from the powers that be.
Legislator Rump.
I've shared with Legislator Bartels and other members of my caucus that I think that we shouldn't be doing this piece by piece. I think if we're going to do a policy on building security and what we can or can't do, I think it should be a one overarching policy, and it shouldn't be done, you know, piecemeal. I have concerns about this with the arrests that were made. If we go now and say, well, that wasn't right what you were doing, I have a concern that it strengthens a civil suit against the county for those people, because now we're saying that now not only are they alleging that what the sheriff did was wrong, but so are we. And I don't know if I'm ready to do that yet, personally. And again, I right with Paul, I think that we should wait to do something like this until we get the advisory opinion. It is just one attorney's opinion, I guess, in some ways, but you know, attorney general's advisory opinions have the force of law in a lot of things in New York State. It can actually change legislation when there's an attorney general's opinion to it. So it's a little bit different than saying, you know, one lawyer's opinion to me.
I just want to say, Paul, you know, I know you guys have the toughest job out there. My thought on it is, if my son's going to get a driver's permit, or he's turning 16, and I come into the county building to DNB to walk in and say, hey, you know, what kind of forms do you have? My son wants to take his test. I can walk in there. I have no problem with security. If my next-door neighbor loses his or her job, and they say, Rich, if you're in Kingston, can you just run by DSS to see what's available? Because times are tough right now. I lost my job. I kind of resent somebody making me hand them ID and seeing if I'm, you know, I don't like it. You know, I can go to DMV, no problem, walk in. It stigmatizes people. And I know I'm probably not choosing my words right, but there are some riffraff and people that are abusing the system, and no doubt. But to me, if people go there that are honest, hardworking people that are down, which are a lot of people, and I've had a couple emails, not a lot, from people just saying, you know, I'm embarrassed going in there, and nobody treated me bad. I just feel like a criminal, and times are tough now. And that's my issue with it. I would just feel, you know, a lot of people don't want to go for help as it is. And for the honest, hardworking people that have to go through that, I think it's a legitimate concern. It's not anti-law enforcement. It's not anti-police. It's a fact that I think it stigmatizes people, and they can feel bad. And I would be humiliated if I had to go in there. I don't want to ever use it, and knock on wood, I never had to. But if I did, I just think I would just be extremely embarrassed to have to.
And our people don't humiliate.
No, and nobody complained that I
spoke to. The reason we do it at DSS is because we have the ability to. We don't have the ability to do it here in the county building, because we have unarmed security guards that aren't even peaceful.
I don't understand. I'm just telling you.
No, but eventually, if I have my way, and I'm here for another 4 years, and whether I'm here any longer now, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But if I had my way, we would do it in all the buildings. You know, the times have changed around the world. I worked in this building for 2 years doing security. I took the armed security out of here when I got elected, because for 2 years, I didn't really do much of nothing. You know, I escorted a few people out, but nothing. But the world's changed since then, so we need to know. And when we get back to the resolution where it says that the legislature has deemed that it's not necessary, well, again, I'm asking through the chair, I want to see how they deem that.
Right. No,
when I deem that it was necessary, because we made 30 arrests in 20 days.
Right.
So there is an issue.
With those 30 arrests in 20 days, are those people, do you know their addresses? Could you just go to their house and arrest them anyway, or the state police?
We couldn't find them. That's why there was the warrants out for them, and five of them weren't even from Ulster County.
Right.
Two from New York City.
Okay.
So besides all that, you know, and I don't want to get into it, I talk endlessly at all the meetings. So you know where I stand, I guess, I can either table it till you know, the Attorney General's okay. written request then. And I would ask Kathy to send me the lady's name that he talked to.
Okay, sure.
Rich, Chairman, you know, I happen to feel that we don't have any jurisdiction in this whatsoever. The Social Services Department has had a contract through the purchasing department with the Sheriff's Department. I have contract, copy of the contracts falling back a ways. None of them came through the legislature. Now, if we want to start, if this body were, the executive wants to give the care, custody, and control of the county buildings over to the legislature, that's one issue. The executive's office, and I don't mean Mr. Hines' office, the administration over the years has decided that they would have security at the ISS or DSS. Not at the county building, not at the Shandaken town garage, not anywhere else. They have it there. That's their choice. If the county executive doesn't want to have security there, that's the county executive's choice. And I would even call your attention to an article in our good local paper when the situation arose with the new family court judge. And it seemed to me the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee asked to appoint a committee with Ms. Mayo, Legislator Mayo, to work on the space. None of your business. I'm in charge. We'll make it work. And they did. They're moving forward. Not the legislature. The executive's office. So I don't feel, I will not vote for something that I do not feel that I have any jurisdiction over. There are such things as past practice. And I will go a step further. I have received comments from other sources that sort of sustain my position that we don't have jurisdiction on this thing. One last thing I will just mention, though, is an article in the paper down in New Jersey where they have facial recognition technology. And they ran all of the driver's licenses in the state of New Jersey. Granted, it's a different state, still America, because I hear comments like, this is against the Fourth Amendment and you're going to get sued and lose a lot of money. They ran them, no warrants, no probable cause, to see if there were any people with duplicate licenses, and they found them. So it's a very interesting thing. If, in my opinion, the executive does not want to have security there, you don't have security there. If he wants to hire the state police or the sheriff, you can't tell him how to do his job. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Legislator Bartels.
Okay, I'm going to try to cover all grounds. First of all, we definitely have jurisdiction in that the MOA says it'll follow, that the sheriff agrees that he or she will follow any county policy. That doesn't mean that the executive's office doesn't also have jurisdiction through the MOA itself, which I would agree with the chair that way, but right now we're talking about what we can do, and right now we're talking about what came out of Ways and Means, which was that we would have a new policy in place pending the end of the year. The idea that Legislator Ronk brought up about dealing with the security holistically, I just totally disagree with, in that what I'm interested in right now is stopping the suspicionless warrant checks, because that's what we've been talking about for the last couple months. The idea of going through a whole analysis of security for all the buildings and what policies the legislature wants to put in place without micromanaging actually the sheriff's ability to do his job in that regard is going to take a lot longer. And it's not going to be a discussion for one simple resolution. It's going to be a holistic policy, and that would take longer. The sheriff had asked about the language in the last whereas. the further determined is just reflective of the legislature. Should this pass, the legislature's will. Basically, the language is saying we've determined by passing this resolution that it's not necessary for safety. But I would reflect back on the sheriff's own quotes to the paper where he said this wasn't about safety. It was about clearing the warrant books. And that's public knowledge. It's well publicized. And as for the 30 arrests, I mean, I also, and I'll ask the sheriff later, but it begs the question of, okay, what were the 30 arrests for? I mean, we can get into a whole long debate about whether or not this is about safety. And again, the discussion began with the sheriff saying it wasn't about safety, but I don't think the additionless warrant checks are about safety. Sheriff's officers are well trained in determining when a warrant check is warranted, and has always, the sheriff's officers have always had the authority to run those checks in those circumstances. So I think what's before us right now is exactly what we said we were going to do, which is just to pass a policy pending the end of the year when the MOA is up and is going to be re-signed, hopefully amended. But I can't speak for what the executive's office or however that policy gets changed. I know that Ken Purnell had talked about some restrictions with State Department of Health, and I don't know where we were at with that, but I think we need to do what we can do, and this is what we can do.
Okay, Legislator Rock, and then Legislator Dawson, and then we're going to wind this out.
Thanks. I don't necessarily agree with what Legislator Bartelt said, that this is, you know, we have to stop this now. I don't think that there's an urgency because the sheriff has already said that he's suspended the policy. So right now we're rushing to pass a resolution to stop something that's not happening. The second thing is that, you and I, Legislator Bartels and I had talked, and she had her understanding was that his agreement to stop them had ended at the end of the year. I went to him afterwards and asked if that was true, and he said, no, I'm stopping them until we can resolve this. He's not trying to be belligerent. He's not trying to go against the will of the legislature, and I think that I'm willing to take him at his word and not rush to do this one thing. Maybe we talk about everything. And I know that the Legislator Geraghty had talked about this committee and Ways and Means getting together and talking about building security.
Actually,
the chairman of the legislature. Yes. I
thought
it was
Geraghty
too, right?
No. Geraghty asked the chairman to do it.
Okay. But... You know, I mean, and that's maybe where we should go with this. Instead of rushing to pass this right now, why wouldn't we look at it all as a holistic approach? That's my...
Okay, Legislator Donaldson and Legislator Provenzano.
I mean, I look at this, and I agree with the concept, because I, like you, I don't think that they should be doing the warrantless checks. But my concern is, can we legally dictate to the elected sheriff how to do his job on operations? And an operational policy. In other words, you're creating the operations and you're turning it into policy. When in reality, operations is the purview of the county executive. And in fact, the contract that was signed was signed between the county executive and the sheriff's department through social services. So that contract can easily be amended to say there will be no warrantless searches. So to me, it's very easily be dealt with that. And the sheriff has assured us that he's not going to be doing them until he gets something back either from the Attorney General's office or the legislature actually creates a policy. And I don't know. I'm concerned at the idea that can we actually do that, because it is a contract and it's an operational, action, basically. You know, and it's between the two elected officials, one being the sheriff and the county executive, and they're the ones that sign off on that operational policy. So my take on it is it can so easily be solved with the contract.
Okay, let me let legislator comment on this.
Yeah, I just a quick comment. I was at the meeting where I thought the chairman gave the charge to this committee to create a policy. So I really thought I was going to come here tonight with some of you already having some ideas of what policy you wanted to implement.
I think it was this committee and Ways and Means together.
Yep. All right. I'll talk to Rich, Legislator Johnson, and maybe we'll have a joint meeting in the next couple of weeks. You what?
That was, I'm sorry, yes, it was supposed to be the two committees coming together to come up with a policy.
Okay. Legislator Bartels.
There's even three committees, but as Legislator Ronk often says, sometimes you just got to get something on paper, and since we had committed to something before the end of the year, that's why I put it down. I wasn't trying to preempt any committee. I just wanted to make sure, and I felt so passionately about it, which is why I called Kathy and said, where are we at with this policy? And there was nothing down. And I said, well, I want something in timely. Then we can talk about it. And I'm open to discussion or amendment. I'm hearing all the points. Dave, to your idea about, I personally think that you may be right in terms of the contract being able to dictate this change, but that hasn't happened yet. So I feel like so often we as a legislature are saying, oh, you know, this is in our purview, and the executive takes over from us, and here's something that we definitely can do because the MOA definitively says it will follow, that the sheriff will follow any and all county policies. If we set a policy that doesn't allow this at any building, well,
what would happen if we decided to start setting the policy on how the county executive is going to operate the DVW? Could we do that?
Well, you know what, I think you're raising an interesting question because I think
it depends
that
on what it is.
There would be a fight, and we've seen friction between the two offices now. But here, taking the executive out of it, here's something where we as a legislature can say, this is our policy. If the executive's office then goes ahead and amends the contract, go ahead. But the legislature could say, this is our policy, and as the sheriff verifies, it's not going to change the way the sheriff is acting currently because the sheriff has suspended the policy, and we'll deal with the attorney general opinion if and when we get it. But what we said we were going to do was amend the policy. That's what we said we were going to do.
Right. Okay. Legislator Roberts.
Sheriff, if you don't mind, I have a couple of questions for you. Did your department come up with this plan, or did you model it after another department, some other county?
There's at least three other counties in New York State that do checks at DSS. How they go about it, I'm not 100% sure. Some of them just check the warrant list against the names, but they have to know who the people are. If I know who the people are, then, you know, I could do it like that.
Do you know how long those plans?
No, but I for sure can get you that information.
Okay.
And I'll send you the survey that the State Sheriff's Association did. I'll send it to you through Richie.
Did you run this by the executive office before you?
I did not.
Okay. You made 30
but
arrests.
Let me say this. I don't need to run anything by the executive office. I did run it by the DSS attorneys who agreed that it was okay.
I just brought that up because we've been hearing back and forth that the executive's in charge of the buildings, and you know, so I thought you might have run it through. You made 30 arrests?
Correct.
How many warrants did you check?
Everybody who came in. So I'd have to check the number. The magnetometer has a number, and they add it up at the end every day. Again, if you want to know for the month of October how many people came through the magnetometer, I can let you know.
Do you have any an outside idea?
Well, I'm saying thousands.
Yeah. And
can we get a list of?
What's the time frame getting back from the AG?
I wouldn't hold your breath. That's just my personal opinion.
We can't force them to give us. They might just say, no, thank you, no, we're not putting anything in mind.
Correct, and then I have to figure out where to go from there.
I don't, Legislator Roberts, I'm
working with the legislature, of course.
Absolutely.
I think she will give us something in writing. I'm not sure how definitive she'll want to be, but she seems like she'd be very cooperative.
And again, in my defense, I put everything in writing. You know what I've done. Kathy's saying he just talked to somebody. Come on.
Whoa, I'm the only
one that's up front here. Not that I disagree.
Whoa.
Kathy, I'm not saying you didn't do it. But through this whole process, I'm the only one that's been up front about everything.
What
gave you everything you possibly wanted to know?
I'm not quite sure what the implication is.
I think Kathy's been very
honest.
But I asked him who it was. He doesn't know who it was, and it's not in writing. Everything that I told him.
What did you want? She didn't give me anything in writing. So
I would like to ask.
No, gentlemen. I'll go back to my office right now. Everybody can wait, and I'll go get her name.
Could you give her something in writing? Instead of just telling her you're in writing. We see what you told her.
I didn't tell her anything. Nick Bradley obviously spoke to her. She called me. I didn't call her. She probably read it out.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Okay.
Let's
all right, we're done with
we're
this.
We're getting off the topic here, and we'll get back on it.
No, I think...
Well, I don't think he meant it that way, but it did come out wrong. I can tell you that.
Well, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let you go.
Legislator, well, Archer, you want to speak?
Yeah, I just have a question, and Paul, we've talked about this, because I just want a point of clarification. The memo of agreement has been in place, and the same memo of agreement, for how many years?
We've been doing security at DSS for 22 years.
Okay.
You know, I don't know how long there's actually been an MOU. I'd have to go back to the old record.
I know it goes back at least 10 years.
And the elements of that have really not changed in the time that it's been in place.
Right. It says they can do warrant searches in there. It says it in there.
And so why wasn't warrant searches being done prior?
We didn't have the technology. We couldn't do it back then, because I worked security and family court. We knew who was coming in because we had a list of who was coming to court. We matched that against our warrant list, KPDs, New Paltz, the state police. We did that hand by hand. DSS, we don't know who they are. Now we have the technology. We put in a mobile data terminal, and it takes literally, Carl Delfiglio was the only one that went over. I know Jeanette has been there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she's been there since we hooked up the MDTs. It literally takes 5 seconds to put somebody's name in, and then it comes back. But it also comes back to say whether you have an order of protection against you. Maybe there's somebody in there you shouldn't be with. Mm-hmm. And that has happened. We've made 2 arrests for order of protection violations. So there are other things that go back to security. And I know originally I said it had to do with warrants. But anyway, I don't want to keep talking about the issue. I said, yeah.
No,
I'm
ready to move on. The stigmatism to the point that Chairman Flaherty made is something that I heard significant feedback from people in my community who go there, who are going through the system, who are already stigmatized by the experience that they have, the fact that they even have to be there. And this is an added element, and it's something that people, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying we have to, to look at it from all sides. And if I'm not mistaken, did you not tell me that the prior head of DSS didn't want you doing
correct.
It?
And
that so you correct. Didn't do it at that point.
And now we have a new
even though it was in the memo of understanding.
A new commissioner's course. And so, if I can, one last, maybe 2 last things
okay.
that I'm done.
Okay.
I asked the legislature, go see what our people are doing there. See how they interact with the clients. Our people have been there forever. The only one that changes every 2 years is the supervisor,
mm-hmm.
the sergeant, because we don't want them getting, to where that's the only job. We need them out doing regular work. So every 2 years, we rotate the supervisor out.
Mm-hmm.
I asked everybody, go there, see if there's any clients complaining, and nobody did.
I did. I did go over my way.
Okay.
But anyway, and that's it.
John, and then Legislator Ronk, and then we're going to vote one way or the other.
Okay, Richard. Correct. One last thing. There are a lot of people in and out of this government, when I ask them about this, who have been involved, remind me there's an executive branch and a legislative branch. The executive branch runs the operation. It runs the operation. Reflect on bigger governments, Albany or Washington. A legislator can't go in and say, we want you to keep that Social Security office open. They close it. Well, we're going to pass that. So my point is, at this point, an awful lot of people think that we don't have jurisdiction on this the way it stands right now by the charter.
But there's other people that think we do, so it's like an everybody's got an opinion. But sit around.
I move we postpone this until we can have a meeting, the joint meeting on building security between this committee and Ways and Means.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor of postponing?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We sent a letter out to people to either send comments on this issue or come to tonight's meeting, and you're the only one, and let's hear more, tell outside the committee to come. Nobody sent a notice, a letter, so.
I received a number of letters. I think
from legislators?
Yes.
But they're supposed to go.
They
to
were supposed to send them. To you could send an email. I asked them to send them to me, but that's all right.
That's between you and them. They sent them to me. I believe I got one from Legislator Donaldson, and one from one other legislator.
Okay.
Legislator Gregorius.
Okay. Do we know what those are?
Yes, I have them.
Okay.
Yeah, basically what I said.
Okay, well, we know what
and I didn't see how you two voted.
We're
no's.
Okay. Okay, on the motion, on the resolution.
Now, let me ask you something here. I mean, right now we have a resolve that it shall be the policy. I mean, could we not, in other words, to assure that it actually is legal, that resolve that we request that... they do not do these warrantless searches.
Wait, say that again.
In other words, right now it's saying they shall, could we not put that we request that they do not do that? And I think we need to adjust the contract again.
Well, the contract's already signed. I mean,
you can change the contract.
Okay. It's just setting a policy. It's not focused on...
Yeah, let's do this. Let's either vote yes or vote no. If we vote no, then we worry about it at a future time. If it passes and there's legal issues, then we address that when we get to it. I mean, you know, there's going to be three sides. There's going to be three opinions on it anyway, so like there are now. I mean, I've gotten calls before, people against it. I don't know. You're going to get sued. You're not going to get sued. I mean, I'm not the expert, so let's... I think it's we just need to vote. I don't care how anybody votes.
Can you, Kathy?
Yes, sir.
Could you send a letter directly to the person from the Attorney General's office and request that you, in writing so that thing happens?
Absolutely. Wouldn't it be great if we waited to pass something like this until we got word back?
Well, regardless, I would like to change the policy.
Okay. All in favor?
I don't know when I'll get it back, but
I'll be an aye.
Opposed.
I'm concerned with the way it's set up.
3-3, so it failed.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm looking down there. You voted
Roberts is
yes.
No. Legislator Rock is no. And Legislator Kay Parity is no. Archer Donaldson. I mean, yes. Okay, so it failed 3-3. Okay. It's a good debate. This is why we're here. So. Now we're definitely winding down. There's no late resolution. Which is
the first.
It's got to be the first, right?
And
new business. Jeanette, that's going to be other old business, okay? So, any new business?
I'm not going to be long about it. At our first meeting next year, probably, I guess, February, I'd really like to bring back up the discussion on charter changes, because we're going to be
you're right. Yeah, we talked about that last January. But let's see who's here.
That's correct.
You might not be here.
I'd love to.
Chairman?
Yeah.
To the point that...
Legislator Archer has the floor.
To the point that Legislator Mossack, can we do a special session to kind of have a working session? Because if we every time we come to the table, it's about what's in front of us today. But if we really want to make some changes,
so let's
talk about the things that we
let's do this.
The
depending
year.
On what happens, we don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks. But depending on what happens, if the committee stays relatively the same, or if some members wonder, if there's no January meeting, like full meeting, that means we wouldn't have to meet. So we should just have a working meeting with no resolutions in front of us.
Excellent.
So we can do that. So let's just see what happens after the holidays, if that's all right.
That sounds fine.
So, is that any other new business?
No.
Okay. Old business. Legislator Provenzano. We're going to talk about.
Did you pass those events?
The resolution 367, the local law, Gilles County reduced youth exposure to tobacco.
I had that wrong one. That one's going to go to the floor anyway.
Yeah, yours. I got confused, you know, because
other
one is on the floor.
To the floor anyway.
So we're passing around the other ones to the school zone.
367.
For a minute. Well,
I really apologize to Ellen and Cheryl. I'm so sorry. I thought it was a little bit earlier than this. Let me first get something out on the table so I understand from this committee. I don't believe that there's anyone opposed to the resolution as far as having a resolution that sets a policy about a designated area around a school zone. Am I correct in assuming that?
I
talked about my reservations on it.
Yeah, I have
about it on the phone too.
There.
Well, this is for a public hearing.
I'm
talking about getting this to a public hearing. I got the email last night from the chairman about a lot of questions having to do with the map, and that seemed to me to be the biggest concern, was that the map, there was something wrong with the map. Some stores are in, some are out, some schools are closed. So the first thing I did was, and I tell you, I find it very frustrating that others don't, no one called me personally as a sponsor of the resolution. I read the email sent to Rich asking you to postpone it again because of these questions on the map, where otherwise, if you had spoken to me, I immediately called up Ken, who did help produce the first map. And I just want to say, this went through our public health committee twice, and no one opposed it. There were questions that Eric had raised the first meeting, which I was told was addressed. So I'm surprised that there still are questions. But as far as the map is concerned, I'd like to give Ken an opportunity to talk about it. That came to committee because we asked the questions, how many stores are within this area that we're talking about? The committee asked those questions, and they were all answered by the deputy executive, and it was put in the, and I spoke to Ellen about this law, which she could speak to you about the merits of it, and I don't think there's any question of it, of the merits of it. That's the kind of feeling I'm getting. But that there's this discussion about a map. This map is a point in time. This law does not become, excuse me, Arthur. When you call them, no one, I'm talking. This law does not. I know you're really getting it tonight, Kat. I know. I feel for you.
You said yes, and one person said no.
What's
the deal? I saw it. Kathy shaking said yes. I saw Irving shake her head no. I don't know what. So they were both shaking their heads. Not a big deal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nice to have your opinion about what's a big deal and what isn't. Nobody interrupted you all night. You have an opportunity to say whatever you wanted to say. It has nothing to do
with
it.
Come on. See, that's what you're about to say on this.
Well, I'm trying. If I could get back to the local law not taking effect until January 2016. And the reason for that is because this is a huge task we are asking the public health department to take on. It takes time. In a whole year's time, you can have a school closed. You can have more businesses come into the zone. So you can't have a map today that's absolute. But what it calls for is absolute. The policy. As a legislature, this finally, to me, demonstrates the difference between policy and administration. We set the policy. And a policy, as I see it, and I'm trying to set, is because of all the information that we got about the 500,000 people dying every year from smoking or smoke-related diseases, the Surgeon General calling it an epidemic with young people smoking. So the policy I'm asking you to set is to have that area of 1,000 feet around areas next to school districts. That is being identified. I asked Ken for the help. Now, the chairman made quite a statement, and I'd love for him to be able to also. Some of it I understand was right, some of it, but I'd like
chair.
To see.
To this chair.
No, well, because if we were on the same page without trying to fight each other, you know, legislature, executive, we would have both maps here tonight and say, you agree that this is a good idea, a good policy. Let's come up
with. Let me say, Professor, I'm going to be honest with you. I personally, the state regulates tobacco dealers. I personally don't think the county should be involved with it. You go to most schools in this county, 1,000 feet, 800 feet away, the kids get on school buses. They're closed campuses. They're not open campuses, so kids can't leave campus and walk into the store to buy bubble gum or Gatorade and have tobacco advertising. It's impossible. They get on school buses, and they drive right by the building. They go. The only time they go in that building is with their mom or dad or a family member. All right. Maybe in the city of Kingston it's a little different. In a couple of the villages where it's a little bit closer. Everywhere else, it's a total.
I understand.
No, I have the floor, Jeanette. You asked a question. My issue is, why is the county? I don't think the county needs to get involved with. I don't. You want to ban cigarettes? That's maybe sold in the county borders. That's maybe another argument. But I don't see why we're putting a burden, an additional burden, on county businesses, people that are working their butts off 20 hours a day, that are already regulated by the state. That's my, and it's got nothing to do, I'm against smoking. I don't smoke. You could throw cigarettes in the river for all I care. I'd be the happiest guy.
All right, if I may respond.
So finish up.
If I may respond.
You can respond.
This is the problem. This is about a public hearing. I want to hear what the public has to say. This is to vote on a public hearing. This isn't to say whether Rich Parity supports having designated zone. That's not what this is about. This committee is supposed to be acting on whether we can have a public hearing on it. It's not about your opinion of the content. You vote no when it comes time.
I disagree. If there's a public hearing to close every Ulster County building, I don't want to do that. So I would vote no for it. Why waste the public's time if it's something I don't feel... No,
I know, but you're giving me your opinion about the content.
If I don't like something, I don't think I should have to support it.
I was asked about a matter.
I thought I was told that there was
supposed to be. Because you know what? This is not on the agenda, so this meeting's gonna end in about 30 seconds. All right? You've got the floor for 5 minutes. I want to hear some other people speak. Legislator Donaldson, then Legislator Archer, then Legislator Ronco.
Well, when we deal with the public hearings, we have to also consider the legality of something, and we have to just consider those types of things and do what we want to actually bring to the public. Now, I mean, I was a casual smoker. I went through, two cancer operations. I don't know if that's what caused it, but I certainly am against the idea, and I certainly do not want...
Yeah, no, that's exactly the time.
Are those chocolate?
Got us all chocolate here.
Mike,
thank you.
Are you going to bring some healthy snacks in, too?
Equal number of caramel on the left. And on the
right. There's no styrofoam, right?
There's no styrofoam in that.
But anyway,
definitely
have one. You know, as I pointed out, and then I had a brother-in-law that was 310 pounds, and he smoked like a chimney, and he died weighing about 98 pounds. So, I mean, it is a terrible thing to begin. But what I also have to talk about is it is legal to do. And until it's illegal to do, I'm concerned with how this would actually have any effect whatsoever. That's what my concern is, because if we're going to be passing resolutions or local laws, we should do local laws that are going to really have a good effect of doing that. I'd like to know how many of those within the 1,000 feet have actually sold to minors. And what I'd also like to see is if you're going to be doing this, really come down hard on people that sell to minors. I mean, take their license the first time they do it. That's the way I would look at it. And everybody should be required to get this new tobacco retail license. I have no problem with that either. But I don't think that 1,000 feet around the school is going to change anything. What it's going to do is change the hardship for certain people, but the guy next door would be able to. Sure, don't change it right away because they're grandfathered in, but once they sell the business, it affects the business. But it's just not worth. You're going to open up the business,
get one of these before before they're all gone. So that is what my concern with it. I would really like to do something that's going to have an effect. If we're going to take an act, let's make an act that has more effect. Making it harder to get the license generally may be a good idea, but just zeroing in on 1,000 feet, it does not have effect. Stewart's stores are one of the ones that are, like, they show up, I think, five of them are listed in the air. You go to Stewart's, and we have, if I want to go in, I went into Stewart's about a month ago to buy a six-pack because I was having some people coming over, they ID'd me. So, I mean, the very idea that, and I said, Jesus, I don't look 21 yet. And he said, no, that's our policy. We ID everybody for cigarettes. And, you know, so I said, well, okay. Well, so the point is, somebody's actually living up to what they should do is also going to be punished for doing that. Punish those that don't. And like I said, put in the resolution that says they lose their license on the very first sale to a minor, and I would support that. I would support it 100%.
Thank you, Legislator Parity. A couple of things. Just one, I want to just clear something up for the committee. I was surprised to learn that the committee staff had done all this analysis, checking the map. The map that we produced for the Public Health and Social Services Committee was never intended to be the definitive map. As Legislator Provenzano said, it was a point in time. It was based upon our public health files combined with the schools. We knew that there would be, you know, some school buildings that would close. There are new retailers that apply for tobacco licenses all the time. And what we were asked to do is, you know, give us an idea of how many businesses would be impacted by this law. And the answer from that analysis was about 20. We never intended it to be the final map. We would not be able to produce the final map until the law was effective in January 1st, 2016. So if it's the desire of the committee to produce a final map, I will never be able to produce a final map until the law is effective. I know that
but you could certainly get a better one than the 20.
No, I think 20 is a pretty good number. Like I said, again, when you take away schools, it might reduce it by a couple or whatever. One of the school tobacco retail establishments, I think, is needed in the county that was identified. So, but whatever, it's about 20 based on the analysis. I might add that under this law, no retailer would lose their license in any way, shape, or form. It wouldn't have that kind of effect. One thing I do want to
what would after they sold?
One thing I want to leave with the committee is this is from the State Department of Health, Bureau of Tobacco Control. They provided to all the counties in the state a list of policy options that their legislature can do to help reduce the environment of tobacco marketing against the youth in their community. This is guidance from the State Health Department. This proposal is included on the possibilities consideration. So, again, something that even the State Health Department says is within our purview. I want to thank Lynn Reinhardt and Cheryl DiPaolo for all their advocacy. Again, and I'm glad the county executive stepped in. This is something very important. I hope we can move forward and let the public be heard on it. I know that we've heard from not only these two groups, but also from the American Cancer Society, the American Lung Association, and just students gotten emails and letters saying thank you for helping us to protect us from big tobacco. So again, I don't know, obviously this wasn't on the agenda tonight. If it's the desire of the committee for me to produce the final map, it's not possible. This is something that would come a year from now. But I want to leave this for the committee clerk.
Legislator Archer. Okay, you can respond in a second. I want Legislator Archer. You can't hear
me. What I see in looking at this, there is the studies. I know the Baruch. I know there was a question about the Baruch study and the phone survey. But my understanding is you all came to the health committee appealing, again, with some guidance from State Health Department, that this is something we should consider. How do you not support something like this? That it, even if it protects, you know, even if it keeps a small amount of tobacco retailers from being able to sell to the kids in the area, I don't see anything.
This has nothing to do with selling the kids in the area. Please. You know what? Then ban them from the county. Let's take, amend it and so ban
May we get some feedback from the very people?
No, I want the legislators that have their hands up to speak, and then you guys can speak, I promise. Just speak, you know. Okay, Legislator Archie, you can finish up.
I would like to, at some point, after everybody else has their say, to hear from the two people that brought it to the Health Committee and ask for the legislature's help to get this approved. And I think it would be important. And another thing is, one more item, is that I think it's important to understand, as Ken mentioned, because one, I knew we were going to be talking about it before it got removed from the agenda, I went and did my homework. I called. I got information. And what I realized is that the map is a point in time, and that the full year before it takes effect is so that the health department can go out to the schools, understand retailers are close to the school, do the measurements, and start a verification process. So the whole point is to limit the number of providers other than what exists today around our schools. I don't see what's so bad about trying to protect our children.
I need to respond to that. Please.
Legislator Ron.
You know, for those of us who have concerns about this, and I've aired some of them with Legislator Provenzano, and our attorney has aired a lot of them, and legislative council has aired a lot of them, and so has Councilor Ragucci. And contrary to what Legislator Provenzano had said, they haven't all been dealt with. Some of them have been dealt with, but not all of them. I mean, I can tell you one of them that keeps getting brought up to me is that number one, are we authorized to do zoning? Because we're creating zones.
Not zoning.
Well, if I may, Mr. Cornell, I listen to you. I'd like to at least have an opportunity. Because I've read this law and I looked at it. There's actually, what they're doing is this licensing of the businesses. However, there are zones that are being created. So it's kind of like a bit of a mixture because we're creating a zone around the schools. The maps can be created, and they have to be created, because we know what 1,000 feet is around each school. You need to do that in order to notify those people who are going to be affected by this law. Because today, right now, I can sell tobacco products, but after this goes into effect, after the initial year, no more licenses will be issued at that time, which has an economic impact, whether you like it or not. So my concern about all of this, as it's drafted, and the way it's being done, is that we're not following due process. Due process requires two things: notification and opportunity to be heard. And no one right now, by the maps that we have, or we have to be seen, the maps that have been provided, provides people notice. And my research, Mr. Cornell, I did legal research on my own volition without even any request by my caucus, is that those maps have to be either one of two ways the notice has to be given. Either at the time of the public hearing, those maps should be available before the public hearing, or the maps will be created thereafter, and then giving the public an opportunity to hear at that time. So either way, it has to be addressed. That's my concern, is that this is is constitutionally insufficient.
I think I can offer...
Hey, what do I get a chance?
When I call in, you get a chance. I know, he's going to respond.
Yeah, on the first of all, again, this was a point in time analysis. The law authorizes the Commissioner of Health through the Board of Health to have that due process and that public process to finalize the maps. I'd be very comfortable if this, again, something that Legislator Provenzano suggested, that we bring back a final map before the effective date for the legislature to approve. I'm very comfortable with that.
But copy, and then you're going to go, you know what? Relax.
You're up. I misrepresent everything.
Stop.
All three council, I think, are in agreement that we're not in favor of kids smoking. And I think, in theory, all three councils...
The whole legislature...
All three councils are theoretically in favor of this. However, we have some due diligence issues. We've asked some questions. And I know, Ms. Steves, you say it's not zoning. I need something, like you heard the sheriff say, I would like something in writing or a case or a statute that says it's not zoning. Since you call it a zone... Maybe if you change the word, it's a different story. But it's called a zone. I believe, that's very close to zoning, or could be defined as zoning. You've created an area around a school. That is a zone. I'm not saying it's fatal, but we certainly think we need to work that part out. Secondly, I think, along with the due process argument, is an argument, is this or can it be defined as a taking? And once again, you say no, but I think all council, all three councilors, agree that we need something more than someone just saying, no, don't worry, it's not a taking.
Well, if I could just address that, it's not a taking per se. If there is an element of taking because you're taking away someone's ability to make some, it's an economic taking, an element of it.
I'm confused.
We're,
but I am.
I
thought
that
you're taking
this away.
That's not how it's taking is defined.
If somebody owns, what Erica's point is, if somebody owns a building inside that zone and they're not currently selling cigarettes in there, they have the ability to sell cigarettes in there now. They do not after this takes effect.
The current,
so
we're not
taking away the ability
to make
economic.
If they sell it, can they still...
We're not saying it's fatal. We're saying we need more, some wording change. I don't think we're saying it's fatal. But it's a complicated resolution. And we just want it very, very tight. I think Erica's due process argument is excellent. Mr. Rigucci and myself and Erica all had some of the same concerns. Without speaking to each other about it, we all came up with the same things. So I think it's important, though, to correct the record. Just because we want to tighten it up doesn't mean we're in favor of kids smoking. I think it's important.
I didn't mean to refer that it's about kids smoking. It's just that we should be talking about how to fix it versus what I was hearing right. Was basically people not agreeing with the policy.
We can try.
So that's what I was concerned
about. Before I get to you, I'm just going to say, if my next door neighbor is subdividing his or her property, and it's going to affect the surrounding properties, the town notifies you. If we're going to look at having a public hearing, we sure as heck should notify every commercial piece of property within that zone to notify that person that their property now can never, if they're not selling it on that day, can never sell cigarettes. You know, if this law is passed, give them an opportunity to come to the public hearing and voice their concerns, talk to their legislators. We're affecting their economic, you know, you're affecting the property values. It's huge. And without notifying them at times. And yeah, if you don't read the blurb in the newspaper, I get it. But the towns can do it. We have the tax maps. Mail everybody a letter, you know, put the public hearing out 3 or 4 months so we've got plenty of time to notify everybody. And then, you know,
Map. Here's a map. Not an ink spot on a page. What does it show? Let's see. The Stockade Area Landmark District. All outlined. Nice and easy. You could have St. Joseph's Church here in a nice 1,000-foot radius. Oh, here's another map. What does it say? Rondout Landmark District. Weren't very hard to get these things. They're available. Did we find a lot of discrepancies, a lot of mistakes? It's not a spot in time. You've got to have a public hearing to talk about this. There's one thing that the taking part of it, I told you last week, I am going to amend this on the floor to prohibit the sale of tobacco products in Ulster County. You all can vote no if you want, and then we'll know who really is against tobacco products. Not a big deal because it's you're not pitting one person against another. However, what you're doing is creating a moratorium. Now, there's no moratorium on liquor licenses, I would notice. No moratorium on hairdressers, on automobile mechanics. If there was a moratorium on liquor licenses, I'd be on my yacht in the Caribbean right now. I'd be a millionaire because somebody'd be coming up, kissing my butt to try to buy my property. You're creating a moratorium? I mean, you talk about pro-business mentality. That's not it. I know that there was a statement, 5.9% of the retailers or something in New York sell illegally. I'd like to know how many in Ulster County do that. Let's name the ones in Ulster County and who they sold to. Because I resent anybody telling me, just to give examples, that any youngster that big in the Phoenicia school walked into the little deli and plopped his $5 on the bar instead of a pack of cigarettes. I do not believe anybody in Kerhonkson from the Kerhonkson school walked down to the Stewart's that big and bought cigarettes. I don't believe it. And I'd like to get the data. is how many in Ulster County violated this law? You know, we all, some of us here know somebody who was a narc. And it wasn't an 11-year-old. It was somebody taller than anyone he is that looked awful good, that was just under 18.
They're still under 18.
But they sold it illegally.
Well,
didn't do the right thing.
That's the point. So
they didn't do the right thing. So when anybody says, oh, you're for it, I'm against smoking. Let's show we got some chutzpah and outlaw it in the county.
Okay, Legislative Bartels in a minute.
Yeah, I'm getting a little confused, but I also feel like when you're talking, John, about people this big, I mean, I don't know that anyone's alleging that a 7-year-old went in to get cigarettes, but a 17-year-old, I mean, a 15-year-old these days, I mean, I've seen 15-year-olds that if you ask me to put money on how old they were, I'd say 25, you know, so it's like there's a whole wide range, and if a 17-year-old undercover bought cigarettes, they bought them illegally, like someone didn't check their ID. I mean, I feel like we're kind of talking in circles. Is there a way to have a public hearing and keep the hearing open, and just in that way to...
No.
Don't other places do that? Other
really.
Counties?
Let's all right, this is the point that I have.
All right, let's set it down. And then we'll finish it up in a couple
of minutes. Point is, again, a simple one, that this policy I do not see as doing very much at all. That's the problem I have. If I would much rather see something that's much stronger than this. We could have a policy that, really a much stronger policy for punishment than somebody that actually sells to a minor. And I think that should be they up the ante on that significantly. I also believe that there should be a policy restricting the display of tobacco products in any store that is open to youth. I mean, that would make sense to me. This one doesn't really make sense. I don't see it really accomplishing much. That's what my problem is. And if we're going to go about doing this, and I'm one of the people that sponsored getting rid of smoking in bars and restaurants, and I had, I don't know how many friends of mine that were bar owners and restaurant owners, one day had me shocked. But I thought it was the right thing to do. I co-sponsored with your brother, the one to get rid of smoking on campus here, or any county. And I agree with that, because I knew it was going to do something. This is not going to do something. That's my problem. You need to make something stronger. Just picking a 1,000 feet and claim, and having to question if it's legal or not, that's the old one point. And then not only that, it's not, in other words, kids, half of them, like you said, ride buses. They're going to other stores. So let's make it where it is much more effective. And that's what I ask you to draw up something like that, and you got my support 100%.
Okay.
Are you going?
No.
Oh, okay. I just want to clarify this, but it's not about the sale. It's about point of purchase, point of sale advertising, marketing, the cigarette packs you see behind the counter. It's there because it impacts you.
Right, but let's do it everywhere.
I mean, you're talking about sale, and we're not. I just want to clarify that it's about. The Surgeon General says that tobacco marketing causes you to start smoking and to continue.
Okay, let's do it everywhere. That's the legislative comes out, then legislative law.
Yeah, it was never the intent for me anyway of this policy to put anybody out of business that is in business now that's grandfathered in. In fact, there's an education component in this, which is very important. If a store has a list of violations, it's not one violation and, all right, you're dead, you're dumb, get out of business. No. They're fined. If it's two, there's an education component with it, that the public health department will go in and explain and with different kinds of videos about the importance to the workers about selling to minors. This is what this is all about. And you know what? If you save one kid before, okay, it's been proven, if you do not smoke before the age of 18, usually you don't take up to have it. That comes from experts, not from me. It's not my personal opinion that I'm based on.
I don't think anybody disagrees with you. Then let's take the language out that nobody can ever open another retail store. Why is somebody owns a commercial property right now within 1,000 feet of a school? If somebody comes in with a business plan to open a deli, why should they never be allowed to sell it? I don't get it, and I don't support it. People invest a lot of money in the property.
Their business, people that come in and can get a license.
No, they can't.
Yes, and that's
no, but with if the site's closed right now, where nobody's selling cigarettes on a site right now,
it's not commercial or it's not being used as a commercial. That's where the impact is.
Right. So let's get rid of that language, then. And I don't have a problem supporting it. I don't want to prevent people from dealing in a lawful business.
I asked a question, and because there are so many, there's three lawyers that met, and I never talked. You told me that three of you met.
Yeah,
we all agreed without.
They all agreed without discussing it. Except they agreed separately.
I need to know what would you like me to do. I think this is important enough for the policy to be adopted. If you want to pick. If you want me to work with you, if you want me to work with the chairman, if you want me to work with Erica, if you want me to work with Cappy, I'd be willing to do it.
Okay.
This is very important to a lot of people that spent their life
working on it. I understand. It's legislative rock.
One more thing, and it's probably going to seem trivial, and I'll be very quick about it, but this isn't an idea that was brought to the Health Committee and a law was drafted. This law was drafted by the County Executive's Office and staff and introduced into the legislature under your name and Legislator Roberts' name and was subsequently transferred to Legislator Provenzano.
No, it's in our names.
I just want to say one other thing.
I have a right to bring it to the committee. We vetted it.
It is one meeting here.
Tonight, the city of Newburgh is having a public hearing, and then it's voting right after the public hearing on the law for 1,000 feet from schools. They were going to have no grandfathering in, but they went back and they decided that yes, they would grandfather in the retailers that are within 1,000 feet of schools, but no new licenses would be issued. They're also doing tobacco 19 on top of that, and they are doing all drug paraphernalia, e-cigarettes. They're including the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see what happens in the city of Newburgh tonight. That will be a really, and I will share that. Maybe you'll see it in the news, but I will share that.
I work here. I'll
be here. Massachusetts, almost the whole state of Massachusetts, does not allow the sale of tobacco in their pharmacies. And so Walgreens and Rite Aid and all of those pharmacies can no longer sell in Massachusetts. So it is an issue, and it is things that people are understanding are an important issue. So that's just kind of like an educational piece of this is happening around us. So I think maybe we can, I would share any information I would have with all of you,
I think since this wasn't on our agenda, I'd like to close it up. But reality here is that, Cappy, could you draw a resolution up saying I'd like to have a resolution pointing out that there will be no advertising of any cigarette products in any store that allows a youth, that allows anybody under the age of 18 to go into that store. There'll be no visual advertisement or display behind the counter. That's what I'd like to have.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I do have to leave, but yeah.
2 seconds.
One thing. Nobody has to lecture me about smoking, but I want to point out that we outlaw a lot of stuff in this world, and we've got a heroin epidemic.
Yeah,
a heroin epidemic where they can buy a tab of heroin for less than a pack of cigarettes. We got real problems around, and if we're going to pass laws, they have to be legally thought out as well as philosophically thought out.
Make a bunch of urine.
Drugs, alcohol, air crashes, and car crashes combined. So tobacco is a number one preventable cause of death in
the United States. You're right. And I sent every legislator all that information.
And, you know, we talk about things like heroin. Well, it's more addictive than heroin. So, you know, just as an aside.
But you know what? The government's also taxed the living daylights out of them because they want people smoking, so they get money. So, and I'm not saying Ulster County, but, you know, governments rely on people smoking cigarettes because they want their tax money.
Tobacco and taxes. A lot of people quit because of that. Yeah. So it's a good thing.
I know people that they quit. Okay. Probably use a Jaguar.
Thank you, everybody. We're going to discuss our next meeting.
So I have no idea.
Everybody have a Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Are we having an audit meeting now?
Yeah. I'm a legislator.
Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Yeah, Dave did. Dave,
and
do you have anything to say, Legislator Archer?
Whatever.
No, we didn't vote on it yet.
That's going to be,
just as far as next steps, I mean,
I'll talk to Jeanette.
So adjourn was moved by...
It's so funny, it's not her resolution.
Did you second it?
Resolution. They can't change sponsors after it's submitted, and they don't get it.
Right? Did you want to withdraw it?
Did you vote?
Yeah. Unanimous to, can you already go back?
To adjourn the meeting?
Adjourn?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, everybody.